Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for the Tech Guy is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com. Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my Tech Guy podcast. The show originally aired on Saturday, August 24th, 2013 on the Premier Radio Networks. This is episode 1007. Enjoy. The Tech Guy podcast is brought to you by Bespoke Post, a product subscription club for men. Bespoke's monthly box of awesome keeps you up on the latest in food, drink, fashion, and more. For 20% off your first box, go to bespokepost.com/twit. Well, hey, how are you today? Good to see you. Leo Laporte here, the Tech Guy. And it's time to talk about computers and the internet and smartphones and home theater and digital photography and anything else you got a mind to talk about. Autonomous vehicles. Google said now they want to do autonomous cabs. What was it? Wasn't that in the first version? You're in a Johnny Cab. You know the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie? What was the name of that? Total Recall, where the Johnny Cab shows up. It's got a plastic driver just to reassure you. Hi, welcome. You're in a Johnny Cab. Google wants to make Johnny Cabs. We were talking about self-driving cars the other day, and I guess we're getting closer, huh? Wow. I have we'll talk about phones. Lots of phones coming up. We got the iPhone 5 and more we're learning the details, including, wow, this will be September 10th. First, the standard disclaimer. No one knows anything. These are all rumors. But as you get closer to an announcement, things become a little loosened up for a few reasons. One, they got to book the hall. So people from, you know, the Herba Buena Center for the Arts or wherever they're going to have this start to leak out. Yeah, I think there's some Big Apple event on September 10th. And then, of course, you got to start making it. And they've been making, if you're going to ship this phone pretty quick, which they try to do after the announcement within a week, that means they've been making millions of them. So there's a lot of workers who have phones, who have the new iPhone. So here's what we think we know. But again, all rumors, Apple has said nothing. The new iPhone will be announced September 10th and available shortly thereafter. Usually it's about a week, might be not even that long, might be that Friday, might be a few days. There will be three colors. There'll be probably two phones, an inexpensive plastic-backed 5C for color. That'll come in a variety of colors. And the iPhone 5S, which will be based on the current iPhone 5, that nice unibody aluminum design. But that will color in black and white and champagne, a new gold-like color. And the new 5S, the top-of-the-line iPhone, will have a fingerprint reader in it. That's kind of interesting. The idea being that you hover your finger over the home button, probably just put it there or rub it across it, and it'll say, oh, yeah, hi, Leo, unlock. Maybe even, you know, Apple has this passport thing built in. It's like a wallet. Right now it only holds tickets and coupons, things like that, but what if it held credit cards? Suddenly, you know, your phone becomes a credit card, a wallet, literally. You can use to spend everything but cold, hard greenbacks unless they've got a dispenser somewhere on the back. Or printer. Wouldn't that be good? It'll print money, too. So that's coming. We have we know that September 4th, we'll see the new Samsung Galaxy Note 3, which is the successor to their traditional big old phone. I'm holding in my hands new phones, too. This is the Galaxy Mega. Big old. Hey, at least they name it right. It looks like it's about maybe a little bit bigger than the Galaxy Note. I think that's almost a 6-inch screen. I actually have the Note 8 from Samsung. Looks just like a tablet. It is. It's an 8-inch tablet, but it's also a phone. You could put a SIM card in, and I've got a T-Mobile SIM, and make regular, everyday, normal phone calls. It's got the phone dialer and everything. Wow. So that's bigger. Then there's, you know, the regular kind of 5-inch and thereabouts phones like the S4 and the Galaxy Note. And now here's a new one from HTC. This is the Note Mini. There's already a Galaxy Mini. This is all while Apple has one phone, right? You know, maybe that you could get last year's model if you really wanted it. This is the Note Mini, which is just a little thinner, smaller, lighter. Hold it up to my head, they're saying in the chat room. So you have a choice between a really big, like holding one of those giant Hershey bars to your head, or holding this little petite object. I guess if you had a petite head, which I do not, this the little mini looks good. Wow. There are a lot of choices out there for people who want to. That's good. They're mostly in the Android space, but I think we're going to see some more choices from Apple very soon. Steve Ballmer announced he's quitting. That's a shocker, although the stock market jumped 7 points when it was announced. Steve Ballmer, the CEO of Microsoft, says the hunt will begin for his replacement within or without the company, and he will be stepping down in a year. These things take a while. But really, a lot of people have been said that Mr. Ballmer did not handle things well. He was interviewed by a number of journalists, including Mary Jo Foley, who hosts a Windows show on my podcast network, Windows Weekly, with Paul Theroux. Mary Jo talked to him yesterday, and she said, "What do you regret? What's your regret?" He said, "Well, he said there were a lot of opportunities for regret and mistakes, but the one that comes to mind is the Vista screw up. And actually, it's one that predates the release of Vista, where Microsoft was headed one way. They had called it Longhorn." And they had to backtrack completely, start over from scratch completely, because where they were headed wasn't working. So, but a lot of people will hold Steve Ballmer responsible for the fact that when he got to Microsoft, it was a $600 million company. When he left, it was a $270 million company. Yeah, that's, you know, yeah, I guess you could take some. If you lose $300 million in value for your company, probably not the best, although many people will point to the industry as a whole falling apart. You know, the PC industry is in rapid decline. Microsoft didn't pick up on the smartphone business until 3 years after the iPhone came out. In fact, Steve Ballmer quite famously said, "Oh, that's too expensive. Nobody will want an iPhone. Nobody will buy an iPhone." And ignored it. Really thought their Windows Mobile solution was better until everybody didn't stop buying it. Microsoft's Windows 8, perhaps a debacle. It's hard to tell. Their version 8.1 comes out in October, and maybe that'll save it. But I think a lot of people, myself included, are very skeptical about Windows 8, and I think a lot of people are not buying computers because of it. But truthfully, he's of an age where it's appropriate to retire. This is about the age Bill Gates was when he retired. In fact, a little older. Bill's still chairman of the board. I'm sure Steve will. You know, man, the way he announcing his retirement made him almost $1 billion. He has so much Microsoft stock that the $7 jump in Microsoft value on his announcement made him $876 million. Nice. He says, and I think this is actually a good reason to do what he's doing. There's a transition going on at Microsoft from being a hardware, actually not even a hardware, an operating systems and software company to they call themselves now a devices and services company. They want to sell devices like the tablets and services like Azure and SkyDrive. And that's where they see themselves going forward, not the Windows company or the Office company. The Office will become a service. I'm sure Windows will become a service. That means you subscribe to it instead of buying it. And he says he's not going to be, you know, he's too old to manage that transition from beginning to end, so he wants to bring in somebody who will be a little younger and can stick around a little longer and oversee that transition. So there you have it. Big shock, really. Big shock. What else is going on? 8888, ask Leo if you want to talk about any of these stories. This Google self-driving car thing, it sounds like a joke, and it's not. They've been working to help major automakers build self-driving cars. They're designing their own, and they're developing a fully-fledged self-driving car. In recent months, Google, according to Jessica Lesson's new blog, jessicalesson.com, Amir Efradi writing, in recent months, Google's held talks with contract manufacturers to build new cars to Google's specifications. Google's now making phones. They're making computers. They're about to make cars. And you know what? I'd probably buy one. I probably would. But then I'm a sucker for technology. 8888 Ask Leo. Let's talk tech. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. It's a 7% increase, I should say. A $7 increase. But 7%.
Hey,
no, I like
love
this
computers, but
I
you
like
know,
this little one. Oh, it's light.
Whoo! Oh, it's the worst.
Wow.
And it will happen.
I wonder what the specs are on it.
That's why I tell you how important it is.
I am a sucker for Google. I feel like Google's inventing the future, you know.
But think about the files on the computers at your business.
And I really like the you know a lot of what they've been doing. Not everything. Yeah, Kim is taking over for Heather today. Here, we'll see. So, buttons are the same. It's the same in every respect. It's just thinner and lighter. I wonder what the screen resolution is, though. That's what I don't know. It looks good. It's probably 720. Wow.
You're running a small business. You can't operate at anything less than full speed. That's why you need
I like it. It's small. I bet it's 720, huh? It's shorter. Screen's shorter and narrower. So it's the same aspect ratio. That feels more like the iPhone.
But that's just half the story. Epson also knows you got to run a tight ship.
Yeah, we'll see what battery life is. What I'm going to do is probably review all of them at once. Left hand is the Mini. This is the Mini. This is the normal one. You could tell because I've, what I should do is, I'll change it to Blink Feed. HTC Sense. Always, thank you. There we go. Now we got pretty much the same thing on here. Let's see what version of the OS is on here. Uh, 422, same. HTC Sense 1. That's very similar. Yeah, this Sense isn't bad, although I do replace, almost always put my, you know, the only thing I use stock is the Moto X I use stock, although that's going back. And I've actually, this has got a ROM on it. Oh, actually, you know, this has 412 and this has 422. This actually has 4222 because I put a custom ROM on it, but. Well, I'm just going to have to test them all, aren't I? I was thinking, gosh, I don't have very many phones anymore. I sent back the Moto X. Gave the Galaxy Note 2 to my mom.
Thank you, Rod.
Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888 Ask Leo. Heather taking the day off. She's got a couple of weeks off, right? Kim's filling
in. This
is
the only one I know about.
Oh, well,
so
then
far.
If you don't know, then this is it. So Kim's filling in. So when you call, you'll say hi to Kim. Who should I talk to?
Well, I like Cliff from Tampa, Florida, because you've been talking so much about the Moto X.
I have. It's finally going back. I'm sad.
So are you sending it back just because it has to go back?
Yeah, it's a review unit. So okay. Normally I don't do review units. I buy. But they, in order for us to look at this before it came out, because it just came out Friday. And I've had it for a few weeks. So in order for us to review it, Motorola kindly let me have one for a couple weeks ahead of time. But now they want it back. So that's fine. I'll probably buy one. I'm waiting. But you know what? I'll talk to Cliff and I'll tell him why I'm waiting. Thank you,
Sounds
Kim.
Good.
Cliff, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi.
Hello, Leo.
I'm calling from Tampa, Florida.
Yes, sir. Kim may not be nervous, but I sure am, talking to the president of the Internet.
I am, in fact, the president of the Internet, which is a purely ceremonial duty. Once a year, I get to sprinkle the holy unicorn dust. Oh, I hear something. Is that you or me?
That's me, I think.
Is that your new
Motorola X?
I was going to say, that sounds familiar. Did you say, okay, yeah. Google now?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm such a fantastic husband. Yesterday was my 47th birthday.
Congratulations.
We went to Best Buy, and I offered my wife the Motorola X. They had four of them in the store.
Aren't you nice?
I'm secretly holding out for the Note 3. But
good news. That's announced September 4th, a week from Thursday, and will be out, the end of the month. End of September.
Right. Yeah. Right. And I'm really looking forward to it. I love the Moto X. We've done the twist to get the camera to come up. We've trained it to my wife's voice for Okay Google Now.
Great.
It's all working great. We only have one major problem.
Okay.
And that problem is we're an iPhone family. All four of us have iPhones. All of our friends have iPhones. And every time we text my wife, it wants to send the text message via iMessage instead of SMS.
Yeah.
I went in and I logged on her old iPhone. I logged out of iMessage.
No, here's what you need to do. Look in the contacts on your iPhone, and there'll be a box that says iMessage is okay. And just uncheck that.
Okay.
It's in the contact.
What about all the other people that or friends that still have her in the contacts? Their phone will want to send it via.
Yes. This is a flaw in iMessage, and that's Apple's to be blamed. What the Apple did with iMessage is said, hey, if iMessage is available, send it via iMessage. Otherwise, you can use SMS. And that's why you need to tell it in the contacts, oh, no, she doesn't have iMessage. But it should know, shouldn't it?
It should.
It should know, and that's a good question. You logged out of her iMessage on her iPhone, so it's not there. See, that would be confusing. If she had iMessage on an iPad or an iPhone, I can understand why Apple's servers would still try to send it that way.
Right, and when I send from my iPhone to her, now that I've logged her out, it'll try iMessage, of course it'll error, and then it'll send it via SMS.
How frustrating is that? That's so frustrating. Here's the thing. This is Apple's way of kind of locking you into their ecosystem. And at this point, this is really pretty much Apple's selling point is the ecosystem. Like, well, if you've bought iMusic and iTunes Music, and if you've bought iTunes movies and TV shows, if you've got iMessage, you guess you got to stay using Apple.
Yeah.
And it should be easier. So here's what Plank says. Sign out of your Apple ID in both iMessage and FaceTime. iMessage and FaceTime should both be turned out. The Apple ID is associated with that phone number. As soon as there's no phone, that phone number, the iPhone phone number, is no longer associated with the Apple ID, then iMessage will be smart enough to say, well, I guess we have to text her. She's just not in our system.
Okay. I will try that.
Yeah, make sure that basically it means modifying her Apple ID to not have an iPhone associated with it.
Yeah,
it's kind of dumb. And then what it means is she can't use an iPhone and a non-iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is why I'm a believer in standards. If you're going to take over for SMS, you've got to have a graceful failover, and that is not what I would call graceful. So don't take over for the standard if you can't do it right.
Well, it's made me an Android believer.
I know, it's a shame. Although, there's lots of good... I don't want to slam Apple too much. There's lots of good things to say. But they have not figured out how to do the cloud well at all. These cloud-based services just do not work. And, of course, Android and Google, they understand this better than anybody. And so
right.
I think you're going to be happier. I'm glad you like the Moto X. I'm curious how real people, especially those going from an iPhone to the Moto X, will feel. It feels to me like a logical choice for iPhone users. It's elegant. It's compact.
Yeah. And I'm kind of a nerd when it comes to the phone, so I enjoy the Android and the extra abilities I have to manipulate it. My wife is not. She likes the Apple because everything's simple on it.
Right.
So it's a learning curve for her, but
yeah.
She's really caught on that she's used it one day and she's able to do everything. So I think she's going to enjoy it. And you've kind of made me nervous since you've gotten rid of your S4 and you're really going with the Moto X.
Well, actually, my daily driver is the HTC One right now. When the Moto X comes out unlocked, then I'll probably switch over to that.
Yeah,
I like the HTC One. You know, no perfect phone. In fact, I can almost promise you, September 10th, I'll be moving to an iPhone for a little while at least.
Right.
Just to try the new iPhone. I'm a little different than the average bear. I got to try them all. And I could talk to you about which one is appropriate for what uses, but there's no perfect phone. There's no phone I would say, everybody just buy this phone and forget it. I think the Moto X is pretty close.
Yep, absolutely.
Wish the camera were better. That's the biggest downfall on it. But, hey, let me know how she likes it.
I will.
Hey,
yeah,
thanks.
We'll send it to you.
Nice to talk to you, Cliff.
Leo.
All righty, take care. We're going to take a break in just a bit, but when we come back, Horacio in Rancho Cascades wants to do an upgrade. I want you to know a couple of things before we get to the bottom of the hour. First of all, Scott Wilkinson, home theater guru, I guess he's taking the week off. Never mind. Normally he's here. I think he's taking the week off. I'll let you know in a bit. If he is here, he'll be here in about 5 minutes. Otherwise, we'll keep taking calls at 8888-ASK-LEO. And you should know the website is techguylabs.com. That's a good thing to keep in mind because, first of all, it's free. There's no subscriptions. I'm not trying to upsell you. We have podcasts. We have audio and video of the shows after the fact. And most importantly, links to every question that's asked in any websites or products I mentioned. So if you're driving around, you're listening to the show, and you go, don't say it slower. Don't worry. It's all on the website. Thanks to James DeRuvo, who's writing it down now. Josh Windisch on my team, who will be working to add each question's audio and video to the questions. Please add your comments, too. You can do that. Oh, and there's one more thing on the website you're going to like, our chat room. If you go to techguylabs.com and click the chat link, you could join the kids in the back of the class. They're kibitzing, but they're also my mind, my brain. And it's thanks to them a lot of times that I can help you. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Horacio Rancho. Is it Rancho Cascades?
Rancho Cascades.
California. Hi, Horacio. Thanks for hanging on.
Actually, and it's Horatio's in Hamlet.
Horatio.
Yes, or Hornblower.
Horatio. Oh, yes, Horatio Hornblower, yes. Alas, poor Horatio. I knew him well.
Exactly, and it's been a pleasure listening to you the last few years. You've really helped me with my technical lows and highs here.
Thank you.
And thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure. I'm so glad you called. It'd be a dull show indeed were Horatio not to call.
And if you don't mind my saying, I'm watching you on the net today, and it looks like you're in the groove. You just had a good week.
It's just the coffee speaking. As soon as it wears off, I'll be back to the boring old Leo.
You and I both. Well, it's pertaining to my question today. Is I have a 7i XPS 8300, Microsoft 7, and I want to eventually go to a RAID system because I want to start working with some video editing, and I do graphics right now.
Right.
And I do know that it has a program that's provided through the Intel. It's called Rapid Storage Technology.
Yeah. So most motherboards now have RAID built in. RAID is the ability to use multiple disks that look like one, and there's a couple of reasons you do it. One is for speed. That's RAID. That would be striped RAID or RAID 0. And the other is for redundancy, where each drive has exactly the same content, so if one fails, you just use the other. You're using it, because you said video editing, I'm thinking you're using it for speed. We call it scary RAID, because when you make two drives act as one, yes, it speeds things up, but it also means if either drive has an error, which is twice as likely, right?
Right.
You'll lose it all. So it's scary RAID. If you're going to do it, make sure you have a darn good backup. Now, the RAID that's built into the motherboard is software RAID. They call it sometimes BIOS RAID, which is fine. Nowadays, I think BIOS RAID's pretty good. The other way to go is to get a RAID card, like a promise card, and those tend to be a little more robust. They're physical.
Well, I might be. Maybe I'm not understanding the proposition as far as the upgrade then, because basically I do notice on this particular unit there are additional plugins. I was actually thinking
there's slots. Oh, you mean there's slots?
Yes, yeah, there's slots.
So you mean slots for cards or
hard drives?
The hard drive. They're hard drive bays. We call them. Okay.
I believe so.
Yeah. Yeah, so that means you could put another hard drive in there.
I was thinking actually going up to maybe RAID 1. Is it 3 or 4 hard drives?
There's it's not the number of drives that determines the RAID level. The number, although higher RAID levels do require more drives, it's just the kind of RAID it is. So there's striped, which is faster because it writes to one drive then writes to the other drive. Writes to one drive, writes to the other drive, so you don't have to wait for the drive to come all the way around. On modern speedy drives, that's probably a minimal improvement. I'm not sure I'd recommend it. The other one is mirrored RAID, where it writes to both drives at the same time. Then there's higher levels of RAID. The one that's most commonly used for backup storage on network-attached storage is RAID 5, which does require more drives because essentially you take about a third of the storage and you use it for redundancy, and that makes it more robust.
Now, that is what I was actually
So then it's everything. It makes a bigger drive because you're combining those drives into what looks to the computer like a single drive. It makes a faster drive because it does use interleaving, but it also makes sure that there's redundancy, so you're a little bit backed up. So RAID 5 is a good choice. But now I think you need at least 3 drives in the 3 bays to do that.
That is exactly what I was intending.
Is it 4 disks? It might be 4 disks. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was intending to actually go the full bore, so go to the 4.
Yeah.
Now, my most...
I don't... Usually BIOS does not support RAID 5. Usually it supports 0, 1, sometimes 1 plus 0. Rarely does it support 5.
Because, you know, I was doing some research on the actual documentation they have within the system for the Intel, and it was a little confusing about that verse with it. But it actually, I do believe it supports the full tilt.
Excellent. I'm a fan of RAID 5. I like it because it means that any one of the drives in your RAID array can fail, but you don't lose any data. You'll have to put a new drive in. By the way, it's not 4. It is 3. The chat room said 4.
Okay.
I've checked again. It's 3.
I think. Okay, so that's why I probably feel a little more...
it is 3. And if any one of those 3 dies, then you will just pull it out, put a new one in. You probably have to rebuild it, and then you're good to go. You've not lost a bit. And that means it's more redundant, really, or more reliable, I think.
I believe you're correct, and this is the most pertinent question. I couldn't find it in the data. I was hoping that you might maybe be able to zero in on this question.
Yeah.
What would be the maximum capacity of the additional hard drives? Now, it came with, I think, a 2 terabit.
So typically RAID 5 requires 3 or more drives of exactly the same size and brand.
Okay.
They have to match, and you'll get all 3 added together minus roughly a third for redundancy.
Oh, that's great.
So if you have 3 1-terabyte drives, you'll get roughly 2 terabytes of storage with redundancy. It's a nice compromise between speedy and reliable.
And this one came with a 2, so I can actually put 2 more.
That's great. One or two more. Yeah.
A total of, I guess, it would be 6 or 8, huh?
Right. RAID 5 is technically block-level striping with distributed parity. It requires 3 drives, but you could put more in, absolutely.
At the same level as the initial, the 2 terabyte?
That's right. Oh. But remember, when you move to RAID, you're going to erase the contents of those drives. You'll have to start over.
Okay, so it's clean. So might as well reinstall.
Everything gets reinstalled. You can't. And similarly, if a drive fails... It depends on the device. There are some RAID devices that will continue on, but I think on the kind you have, it's most likely you'll have to put another drive in, rebuild it, and then be able to use it again.
I was assuming that, so that's good. Well,
hey,
thank you for your time.
I really appreciate
it.
Yeah, good questions, techie questions, but a good thing to know because you might hear these phrases. And certainly when you buy an external box that has more than one drive in it, it's using some kind of RAID inside. It's using some sort of... RAID stands for Redundant Array of Independent, Intelligent, or Inexpensive, depending on who you ask, disks. The I can mean a variety of things. The original RAID was inexpensive disks. The idea was you could use dumb, cheap disks and make them more reliable, more speedy,
by using this technology. And it's very widely used in servers and so forth. Nowadays, I think hard drives are fast enough that you're probably not gaining a big speed advantage, to be honest. Andy, Los Angeles, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Andy.
Hey. Great talking to you, Leo.
Thank you. Welcome.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So I am a novice web designer. I'm a professional video editor by trade, but I've listened to your show for a long time, and I'm doing my own project, so I decided to put a web page together through Squarespace.
Great.
And, it's a pretty cool site.
What's the site? What's the site?
You mean what's the name of my site?
Yeah, can we plug it for you?
Yeah, sure. It's
Sound reluctant. Is it that we don't have to plug it for you?
No. It's great. It's for a documentary project that I'm doing about the highest video game score ever.
Oh, I love this idea. Hey, can you pick up the phone? Because it's a little echoey with the speakerphone. I'd appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Sorry.
Thank you. No problem. So what's the name of the documentary?
The name of the documentary is also the name of the site. It's called Man vs. Snake. So it's Man
vs. Hold on. I got to talk to you about this. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Man vs. Snake. I love it. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. What a brilliant idea. The snake game. The first billion-point video game.
Mailing and shipping are an important part of running your
tries
small.
To elevate one's vision to high plateaus of greatness. One expects a noble trajectory.
It's sort of like Everest. You knew it could be climbed.
It's there, and so it has to be done.
Only one person will be remembered as being the guy that did it first.
Points are free. Quarters are hard to come by.
It was the only game in the golden age that set this scoring benchmark of a billion points.
But a little back of the envelope calculation shows that you're going to be playing for 2 days.
By the time he reached his billion points, Tim McVeigh had logged 44 and a half hours of nonstop play on one quarter.
It's
absolutely insane to sit in a video game that long.
I mean, this is real, like, kind of epic, mythic attempt to get this billion points.
You can't believe it even after you see it. The way it done was Tim McVeigh. Bay plays his nibbler game, guiding the slithering snake and racking up the points.
He did that. He got a billion points on nibbler. What the fuck is nibbler?
Nibbler is a snake that's going
Excuse
through
me.
A maze.
The sound of nibbler makes you want to be anywhere but in front of it.
It's fun to play for the first 20 minutes, and then it's not so fun.
It's nibbler, it's a horrible game. The guy got a billion points to Tim McVeigh. No, it's different Tim McVeigh.
It's not that Tim
really
McVeigh.
Nice guy. Not a terrorist.
If somebody ever had everyday ordinary farm town boy tattooed on his head, that was Timmy.
You didn't have to.
This is a great idea.
Be anywhere and be the best.
Tim had an energy to him. He had a magic that made him say, "I want to be a superstar."
And on Tim McVeigh Day in Ottumwa Saturday, the self-proclaimed video game capital honor.
Nothing going on in Ottumwa.
The key to the city and the keys to a nibbler game of his very own.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure that's the number one thing he wants to do is play Nibbler.
Il punteggio mondiale
è di un americano.
Sì, un certo
no.
McVeigh.
1 miliardo e 1 milione di
punti. Oh, no!
Incredibile.
Those bastard Italians.
Zanetti from Italy. I broke the Nibbler record that occurred 25 years ago.
Apparently somebody had beat my record, so that little voice in my head says, you gotta beat this back.
Invidia, uno dei sette peccati capitali.
Envious.
Tim wants to make sure there's no shadow of a doubt on his accomplishment. That he is Mr. Nibbler.
At first I thought he was kind of crazy.
This is what happens
said,
when you play a lot of video games.
Again.
It's going to be a tough thing for him to do.
I don't know if it's realistic for Tim. I wish him good luck on it.
I got to get used to
the guy who wrote Nibbler.
Used to setting. I got to get used to not sleeping, planning my bathroom breaks. I think it's going to be like riding a bike. I don't think there's a player in the world that could possibly beat me on it.
We're just going to have to find out what happened a little later. They got a few days to go on their Kickstarter, but I love this idea. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. We're talking to Andy in Los Angeles. He is a documentary filmmaker, wants to make a movie about The King of Nibbler, which is a arcade video game. A kid named Tim Shea got a billion points. We've been watching, during the break, I've been watching with the chat room the trailer. This looks great, Andy. I love this. And you're gonna and you're trying to raise the money to make it on Kickstarter. If people want to support Man versus Snake, the long and twisted tale of Nibbler. I love this because I guess this kid got it many years ago. Then some guy in Italy beat him. And now it's now he's going to try to get the record again. I think it's just a great. I don't know how it ends. I can't wait.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's a great ending. We're actually just trying to raise money to get the finishing costs. You know.
So you've done the shooting.
Yeah, we've done the shooting and we've been editing, and now we're down to the final stages, and we've got to pay people to do the mix. And
I think this is such a natural for Kickstarter. Kickstarter, for those who don't know, is a website where people go like Andy. Who have a creative project or a product that they like to do, but they need the backing. You don't get anything on Kickstarter. In fact, Kickstarter is a great pains to say, hey, we're not a store. In this case, you'd just be supporting the film, and if you pledge enough, you'd get a download of it or for $35 the deluxe movie package with extra features. And this is great. You've already raised in just a few days. You've raised almost $8,000. You've got almost a month to go. I think you might do it. I'm glad to help you. I think this is a great idea.
Well, but here's the question. I mean, thank you very much, Leo, for the pitch. we really appreciate it. But the problem is this: when I was building the site, which you know I had never done before, I was putting up pages, and within Squarespace, you have pages that are unlinked until you decide to link them, right?
Right.
And so my mom calls me, and she goes. What are you doing? I go, I'm building a website for the movie. Oh, okay, cool. And I'm in Los Angeles, and she's back east. And she goes, what's it called? So I give her the name. She goes on. She Googles it. And then she calls me back like an hour later, and she's all upset. I go, Mom, what's up? She goes, you can't put that on the Internet.
Oh, no.
And I go, well, what are you talking about? And she starts reading off all this stuff. And what it was that Google Google had gone and found the un...
Right. Yeah. So what you
so
yeah.
Is that something that happens? I mean, people
it
have
does.
To,
it does. Yeah. If you have so the key is to and I don't know how to do this in Squarespace. I'm sure there's a way to do it. And we should disclaimer, Squarespace is an advertiser and so I have a little bit of a relationship with them. I don't know how to do this, but in a normal website you'd have a file called robots.txt in the root directory. And that file would tell Google and other search engines, by the way, what to index and what not to index. Now, it's true, if you don't publish a page, Google should not be indexing it. So I'm wondering if there is somewhere a stray link, because the way Google finds pages is by following links. So yeah. If there's nothing linking to it ever anywhere, then Google won't find it. There has to be a public link to it. And I would guess, I'll contact Squarespace, see if I can find out, but there's got to be, and maybe somebody in the chat room would know, there's got to be a setting that says, don't index this. I would look in your settings.
When you're roughing out a website, or maybe you're doing a press release, but you don't want to publish it until.
And that happens all the time, and that's why Google created this notion of robots.txt, a simple text file in the root directory that says what to look at and what not to look at, because you're using Squarespace. It won't, you could do that, but more likely there'll be a setting somewhere in your Squarespace settings that says don't index this.
Oh, okay. But
maybe it's a meta tag, no index meta tag or something. Normally there's a text file that says don't, index this, but don't index that. And all search engines honor that. That's the polite. The polite way to be a search engine. You don't want to search.
Okay. Okay. Well, maybe I goofed up and just didn't click.
I would look. Yeah. And that's no fun. You don't want your mom to find it.
Oh, yeah. It's totally embarrassing. You're like, your grammar is terrible.
Yeah. You can't write that. But I'm telling you, everybody, I really want to. I think this looks. I want to see this movie. So support it.
This is
great. This is a really great idea.
It's a really inspirational story, and it's got a great ending. So,
don't tell me now. That's the fun of it, right? The surprise.
Yeah.
Hey, good luck, Andy. Let me. We will put Canuck in our chat room is giving me a link to a article on the Squarespace site about how to keep robots from following. I'll put that link at the show notes at techguylabs.com. It seems to me that this should be fairly simple to do. I would think that Squarespace would have a switch. But anyway, there's a couple of articles, one from Squarespace and one from a site called Squareflare, that tell you how to do this.
I'll check it out. Thanks, Leo.
Good luck, Andy. Let us know how it works. I'd love to, to find out. Isn't that great? You know what the nerd world is going on and on about right now is Batman, right? Who the next Batman is going to be. It's Ben Affleck. You're not happy about that either, Kim?
I don't watch them.
You don't care.
But I've heard...
They got the best villain in history, though.
Who's that?
It is now confirmed Bryan Cranston will play Lex Luthor. Bryan Cranston, of course, the star of Breaking Bad. And a guy who went from the nice dad on the 70s show, on that 70s show, to Mr. Evil in Breaking Bad, and I think he's perfect.
I have not seen Breaking Bad, but that's on my to-do list.
Oh, yeah. You know, I save shows for the old age home. You will when you get a little older. They're just shows I don't want to see, and I have to have something to watch when I get older, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so save that. That's a good one for the old age home.
Have you seen Orange is the New Black, though?
It's good, isn't it? So that's an interesting story, because that's a Netflix original. Mm-hmm. Netflix has decided that the business of sending CDs or DVDs by mail is dead, and that's because the movie industry really didn't want them doing it anymore. It's made it harder and harder. And so they moved to streaming, but the real goal for them to get people to subscribe to streaming is to start making new content that you can only see on Netflix, and then people pay $8 a month. And they started with House of Cards, which was amazing.
I heard that was great, too.
Amazing. Kevin Spacey, season 2 coming soon. Then they did a last season of Arrested Development, because that show had been off the air for some years. They brought them all back, did another, and that was very funny. And now they have a new one based on a novel,
it's a true story.
A memoir, yeah, called Orange is the New Black. It's about a upper middle class woman who goes to prison, women's prison.
For something she did
a long time ago. It's good. I like it, too. Isn't that good? It's a good show. It just shows that, if you've got money, you don't have to know how to do this stuff. people said, Netflix, they won't know how to produce. No, they give money to people who know how to do this. For House of Cards, they went to Kevin Spacey's production company, Trigger Street, offered him a ton of money. I think the rumor was $100 million. And Trigger Street knows how to produce great content, so they did. And Netflix gets the benefit of it. What's really interesting is that for both of those shows and for Arrested Development, they put the entire first season up all at once. But isn't that how we watch TV now? We just binge it?
On demand?
Binge it.
Yeah, we
five episodes a night. I'm going to watch it till I can't watch anymore.
What I did with Orange is the New
Glaze
Black.
Over. You were able to watch probably the whole season.
Well, I haven't. I'm only like episode 6, so yeah. I still have a ways to go.
Me too. I haven't finished it yet. It changes how we think of TV. I just watch it all. No commercials. There's different schools of thought about this. One of the things that we're starting to see with live TV is the influence of Twitter. And I suppose to a lesser degree, Facebook and other social networks. But when there's a lot of Twitter activity around a live show, people watching it live and tweeting, kind of in a community, talking behind the scenes, it can boost the ratings significantly. And it's an argument for doing these shows one show a week, because people are back to, in some cases, watching live TV. They just set a new Twitter record for the most tweets per second a couple of weeks ago. I would ask you to guess what it was, but you never will. It wasn't the election. It wasn't the Academy Awards. The new record for tweets per second was set August 3rd in Japan. They love Twitter in Japan. 143,190 tweets in 1 second, all about the re-airing of a 10-year-old movie called Castle in the Sky, an anime movie. Very popular. Good movie, actually. But it wasn't even a new movie. That's the new Twitter record. I haven't seen a fail whale in ages. Remember they used to, when Twitter would break, they would have a floating whale? And Twitter's down. I haven't seen that in a while. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. More calls right after this. All right, I'm going to have to ask your help. Chat room, I've got a box of awesome. Well, I got two boxes of awesome. I'm a little behind on my boxes of awesome. And I don't know which one to open, so you're going to have to help me. So there's a little box of awesome. And there's a big box of awesome. And the big one's really heavy, and the little one's pretty light. But sometimes good things come in little packages. What is a box of awesome? Well, if you go to bespokepost.com, you can find out more. It's a gift pack, basically, for guys. It's a great gift for the geek in your life. If you go to bespokepost.com/twit, we've got a special deal. Let me type that in so you can see it. But what these are is, this is a popular category right now. It's curated boxes, gift packs. They come in. You know, they arrive every month, and they're pretty amazing. Let me show you some of the boxes. They're pretty amazing. I'll give them my email so I can see the boxes. There we go. So there's like a poker set. There's the Hemingway box, which is a knife and a pen. Martini set. I showed you the barbecue set, the coffee set. So these are just fun things. So chat room, I need to know, what should I open? Which box of awesome? Big or little box? Big or little box? They all want the, some people are big, little, big, I can't tell. The little box is the Hemingway. What's the big box? Do you know?
Open them both.
No. I'm going to open the big one because it's really heavy. You can see why this is a fun gift for somebody, because when it arrives, it's all exciting every month. They cost $45 for one box, and then they have discounts if you buy it, you know, 6 months or a year. But the nice thing about this is they can go online and say, I don't want that box. You know, it's kind of like the Book of the Month Club. You can see the box ahead of time. The nice thing is just getting this every month. Just think how your correspondents, how happy they'll be. All right, the big box of open, the big box of awesome. Here comes the grand reveal. It's big. It's heavy, too. Oh, it's the poker set. Oh, man. It's called Aces. Information, blackjack, cheat sheet, poker night alternatives, pie gal poker, hidden tips and tricks. Know your odds. What's in here? Ooh, wow. Holy cow. I'm glad I opened the heavy one. Holy camoly. This is gorgeous. You got all the chips. I love this. They've got used playing cards from the casino. I always buy those when I go to Vegas. This is from the Rio, and this is from the Hard Rock. That's fun. This deck of cards was used in actual play in this fabulous casino. You've got your dealer knob there. That's good. The chips. Isn't that beautiful? Imagine arriving at your next poker game with that. No wonder it was so heavy. Those are real clay chips. That's beautiful. So that's a box of awesome. You see how happy people would be? Look, I want you to try it. It's absolutely guaranteed to be a delight, or you're just send it back and get a different box or get your money back. If you go to bespokepost.com/twit, you're going to get our special offer, $10 off your first box of awesome. Or I think that's it. Wait a minute, let me go there. What says right there, doesn't it? 20% off, not $10 off. That's $9. 20% off your first box, bespokepost.com/twit. Check it out. I guess I can't get there anymore because I logged in. Isn't that cool? Subscribe, preview, receive, repeat. This poker one is awesome. To rob a casino and get away with it. All righty, bespoke. I like this box. Awesome. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Time to talk computers and the internet and cell phones and camcorders, MP3 players, home theater. Phone number is 888-ASK-LEO, 888-827-5536. Toll free from anywhere in the U.S. Outside the U.S., you can call that number. Just use Skype and it won't cost you anything. Show 1007. In the ongoing quest to make technology work for you. Moving on, let's see. Our next call from Robert in La Puente, California. Hi, Robert. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Robert.
Yeah, you calling for me?
Yes, sir. You're on. Welcome.
I heard a noise instead of...
A little chime.
Yeah.
That pleasant little chime means you're on.
Thanks for accepting my call there.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for calling in. What can I do for you?
I'm trying to find a computer, like a laptop, or preferably a tablet that I can get a 1394 FireWire hookup.
Yeah, FireWire has been kind of replaced in a lot of situations. In fact, I would say everywhere. FireWire is the name Apple and Intel gave it. The technical name is IEEE 1394. It would be the same thing. Modern laptops generally come with USB 3.0 and not FireWire. Anybody in the chat room can help us out. I'd appreciate it because I don't know of any. Even Apple, which was the big proponent for a long time of FireWire, has stopped putting them on laptops. You know, one thing you can do is get a laptop. These are harder to find, too, than they used to be, with a PC card slot or card bus slot. If you've got a card bus slot in there, and there's probably you want the little one, you can easily find FireWire cards to go in there. I guess you could get a USB 3 to FireWire adapter. That's not ideal either. A lot of these, a lot of people want them because of older hardware that uses FireWire, like a camera, like a camcorder. But it's pretty much dying out, which is still kind of, which is very sad. It's very sad. I guess it's not unheard of. I mean, remember SCSI? A lot of computers had SCSI connections, parallel port connections. Those are gone. FireWire is now dying out. USB 2 is being replaced by USB 3. On the Apple side, they've decided to go with Thunderbolt. And as if that weren't enough, Thunderbolt 2 will be part of the new Mac Pro, even though there's nothing to attach to Thunderbolt. So these things just move on, I guess. USB to 1394 will work. You know, it won't be as fast, but it'll work. Or get something that has a card bus slot and get a card bus card, I guess. Kevin in La Crescenta, California. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, how you doing, Leo?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you, sir.
And I have some questions for you, sir.
Yeah.
I've got a 19-year-old boy that is going off to college.
Ah, me too.
You too, huh?
Yep. Dropped off Henry yesterday at University of Colorado Boulder.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
We're looking at CSUN down here in Southern California for him.
Congratulations. That's a long haul to get a kid to college, but it's a nice feeling when it happens. Yeah. Now 4 years of tuition and you're done.
There you go. Well, my question for you is going to be about portable computing.
Mm-hmm.
We are looking at Ultrabooks, Netbooks, laptops, IdeaPads, ThinkPads, you name it.
Yeah, all excellent choices.
I'm trying to find out what's right for a 19-year-old boy who doesn't need a lot of graphics and is looking at an accounting major.
I think a Lenovo is a very, very good choice. Now, you're probably going with the Windows 8 because it's hard to find Windows 7, and why buy a 5-year-old operating system?
True.
So that means you're going to want to get a touch screen. Lenovo has some excellent touch screens. The Carbon Touch is very nice, a little expensive probably for what you're looking for, but there are some excellent Windows Ultrabook choices. I have, and I'm very happy with, an Acer S7. It's very thin, very light. I think it's a mistake to spend too little. I know you're spending a lot for books. My God, I just got the bill for the college textbooks.
It's incredible.
Even the rental is $100.
Yes.
Insane. I don't know how they get away with it. So you're spending a lot on other things, but the best laptop you can afford is a good idea. In fact, they even told us this when I went to the orientation for the IT at University of Colorado. They said, get a professional grade, not a consumer grade laptop. If you possibly can, you'll get better results.
Okay.
And so I think Lenovo's a good choice. Dell's a good choice. I like this Acer S7. Just make sure you get a touch screen. If graphics aren't an issue, they're all good enough now anyway.
Well, let me ask you, what is the difference between an ultrabook and a netbook?
A netbook is a cheap, cheap book. Cheap. You'd be hard-pressed to find a netbook anymore because it's a failed category. They were $250 to $350, and they were made with such junky parts that most of them are dead now.
Okay.
Not a good choice, frankly, for college. Unless you have no choice. I mean, I understand it's expensive, and if all you've got is $350, it's better to have that than nothing.
Right. Now, we're looking at spending probably close to $1,000.
Oh, you're in good shape then. There's some excellent choices. Ultrabook is Intel's kind of basically MacBook Air ripoff. MacBook Air was such a success for Apple that Intel said, we really ought to make these for Windows. And so they described a thin and light computer. Doesn't have optical drives. Now, since he's going to school, you should probably check. They'll probably be at the school bookstore, discounts for students. And that's worth checking to see what they sell, what they recommend. It's also what they support. Most colleges have very good support for students. They understand that that's, not all students are technical. And so that they, but they do need to use computers. You'll also find he probably doesn't need a printer. The college itself will have printers. They told us not to send a printer with Henry. Is he living at home or is he living at school?
He is living at home with a printer.
So he'll have a printer at home, absolutely, yeah.
Right. Now, there's also optical drives that you can just plug into USB.
Absolutely.
A call?
Yeah, no, that's fine. The truth is we are seeing less and less need for them. Really, the last thing people needed them for was installing software. That's really not happening anymore. People are installing on the Internet. Backup, it's better to buy a USB key or an external hard drive. So I wouldn't worry about the lack of an optical drive anymore.
Now, Leo, I'm also seeing a lot of third-generation i5 and also some new i7s.
Yeah.
What do you recommend there?
For a laptop, if you can, get the fourth-generation Intel chip because it has much better battery life, the so-called Haswell. i5 is plenty. No need for an i7.
Okay.
So a Haswell or fourth-generation i5, definitely my recommendation to get better battery life. They actually have better graphics built in. You want Haswell.
Fantastic.
All right. Hey, thanks for the call.
Thanks for your help.
Congratulations, Dad.
Likewise.
It's a exciting but sad moment. It's bittersweet. You got him out of the house. But sometimes, I miss Henry. You only remember the good stuff after the fact. All the painful stuff is just a blur now. All the hard work. They told me not to bring a printer, not to send a printer with Henry because there's no need. They can print on the network to a lot of places. But even more importantly, a lot of professors don't want the paper. They want the email. They want you to email your work, digital versions. So it really doesn't, it's no longer necessary. Same with optical. You really don't need it anymore. We've moved on. We're not, I don't think, to the point where you could get away with a tablet instead of a desktop. At the very least, you'd want to get, if you're going to get a tablet, something like the Surface Pro with a keyboard so that you have the capability of typing. You're not going to type a paper on glass on a tablet. And you know what's funny? I thought, oh, great. Once we get textbooks on tablets, we'll be saving so much money. No. They're still charging hundreds of bucks. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Yes, and every student should bring a typewriter with them. Yeah, Abby moved back home, so I realize it's not goodbye. It's just adios. Have a fun. Oh, I know. And at least you get a resale value. Abby rented her math textbook, $100, or maybe it was her bio, $100 for a year, a semester's rental. They rob you blind. It's
terrible. Rental, huh?
Yeah, that's a new thing now.
I did, yeah. And I bought my used books, but I never rented one.
This is the new thing, is rental. It's not that cheap. And they said it's okay, and so people said, well, is it okay if he highlights or writes in it? Oh, yeah, it's fine. Just don't bring it back with blood on it. And we all went, what? And
they said, are they doing?
It happens. My roommate won't let me sleep. So, it feels like a scam.
books are a scam. They should not be that expensive.
It seems like it's like, how could it be that expensive?
I can remember, you know, $250 books.
Yeah. How could it cost that much?
Yeah. They don't cost that much to produce.
Well, there you go. There you have it. They got us. What are we going to do? You got to buy them.
Yep, no choice. But what about the ebooks? They don't put any of the
No, and there's no resale value on the ebooks. So I think ebooks don't really save you any money. You know, basically they have a monopoly. These you know, big publishers have a textbook monopoly, and as long as that monopoly exists, they're not going to, however you buy it, they're not going to make them cheaper. It's really horrible. Tell me one college that's not a party school. You're right. I know Colorado has a reputation as a party school, but tell me one college that's not. Well, tuition. Yes, we're all protesting tuition hikes, too. Believe me. The whole thing is probably a scam. But I'm not going to experiment on my kid. Yeah, Boulder is gorgeous. I really like the campus. They're going to get their first snow in about a week, which is exciting. I feel grateful that I can afford to pay his tuition, so he's not going to graduate, at least as long as Twit survives, he's not going to graduate with a big debt. I know, where did summer go? So this is kind of cool. I'm looking forward to trying this out at home. This is new from the Drobo folks. It's called Transporter. Actually, I don't know if it's new. They just haven't promoted it. Basically, it takes the place of Dropbox. You plug it in at home to your Ethernet. It's got a this one has a terabyte drive in it. I think it's $199 for the terabyte, and then more for the there's a 2 terabyte as well for $299. And then the software lets you sync up. You know, basically, it's the same as Dropbox, but you own the storage. AES 256-bit encryption. I like that. So I'll give you a review of that. I'm kind of excited. I think it looks kind of cool. It looks great. Very fun looking. Yeah, I dropped out after a year and a... No, 2.5 years. It's, you know, I asked him how's it like the Pogo Plug, and I think really what they're trying to differentiate, I think it's the same, is by software. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888 Ask Leo. That's the phone number, 888-827-5536. Toll free from anywhere in the U.S. and Canada. Our website is techguylabs.com. Let's move on to our next caller, Gene in Las Vegas. Gene, Leo Laporte.
Hello, Leo.
Hi, Gene. How are you?
I'm well. I'm so glad to talk to you. I've been listening to you for longer than I care to admit, or I would age us both.
You can't age me any more than I already am. I am well aged.
Well, and I can't think of anybody to help me make this decision. So my birthday is next week, and my mother has graciously offered to buy me a tablet for my birthday.
Oh, how sweet of her. That's nice.
I know, and I am the last one, the last holdout. My husband has a Kindle. She has a Galaxy Galaxy Tab 2, and even my 5-year-old has a Navi. So I'm the only one without a tablet.
That's the little kid computer. How great.
Yes. So familiar with the Android platform and the Kindle platform, was pretty sure I was going to get a Samsung Galaxy. Went to the store to kind of look, do I want the 2, do I want the 3, what size do I want? And kind of got sidelined into talking to somebody about the Surface. And I had
no!
I
no! No!
There's a reason. Okay. I'm usually not one to get suckered in by the shirts in the store, but... I did give him 20 minutes of my life.
Well, it is, you know what? They've discounted it hugely, so it's not expensive.
Well, you know what he said? He said they discounted it, but basically what they did was you don't get a keyboard with it anymore.
So add $100 for the keyboard.
Exactly.
$450. You do get Office, which is nice. You're talking about the Surface RT, probably.
The RT. And that's kind of where I'm going is I have budgeted that probably right around like Black Friday, I'm going to buy myself a new laptop. And I'm very basic on my laptop. I need the office suite. I need the internet. So that's kind of where he hooked me.
Well, yeah, you wouldn't need a new laptop if that's all you use.
Right. So that's my question is what's... You know, and I've looked all over the internet, and there's just as many sites for people who hate the Surface as there are for people who like the Surface. So.
Let's pretend that Microsoft doesn't exist, that Windows isn't, because this isn't a Windows machine, and don't confuse it with a Windows machine. You, the only Windows, true Windows app that runs on it is Office, and that's only because Microsoft put it on there.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot install any of your other Windows apps on it.
Right.
You can only install these so-called, you know, Metro full screen apps in the store, the app store. So in that sense, it's very much like an iPad or an Android tablet. But it's like one that has a full version of Office on it, which is kind of cool. Play with Office for a while though, because a couple of things I noticed. It is hard. It's, you know, it's only 1368 by 768 or 1320 by 768. It's not a very high res screen, and so when you're running Excel, for instance, it's hard to tap the X to close the window or the cells to enter into them. It's a little tiny. Now, if you have beautiful little lady fingers, it might not be a big deal, but my big fat man fingers just don't work so well with that. It's Windows. It's like if you took an iPad and made it be more Windowsy. It's like that.
So I'm wondering if I'm better to just follow my original plan and just get my Galaxy tablet.
What do you want to do with it? You want to surf the net, do email, that kind of thing?
I want to surf the net, do email, do Word documents, spreadsheets.
The guy at the store was absolutely right. When you say Word documents and spreadsheets, there is nothing that works well on Android. You really want to use, you want a Surface RT, I think.
Well, I'm wondering if I should just get the Galaxy tablet and then go ahead with my plan to buy a new laptop in the winter anyway.
Maybe you might save some money doing it this way.
You think the Surface is here to stay? You think they're really going to...
Yeah, well, first of all, Microsoft's not going to stop. Whether that's right or wrong is another matter entirely. But they're all in. They're committed. Rightly or wrongly, they're committed to this notion.
Okay. And how is the internet browsing? Because that was one of the things he said. He said, you know, there may not be as many apps for it, but if you don't have an app for something, you can just launch a browser and just go to a full-fledged website. I heard that the browsing is very slow.
Yeah. Well, so I'll give you the alternative, which is a Nexus 7 from Google for $229.
Okay.
So it's half the cost, which gives you $200 more to put, or $250 more to put into your laptop.
Into a regular laptop.
Yeah. Now, remember, on the laptop, you're going to have to buy Office.
Right.
So that's going to eat up that profit right there.
Very true.
You know, I think the guy was not steering you wrong. I think given its price drop to $350, plus you want to get the good keyboard, not the touch keyboard, but the type keyboard.
Yeah, that's only like $20 more, but so much better.
Worth it. It's a real keyboard.
Exactly.
Then you really have a laptop. Especially for what you've just described. I think it's adequate.
Yeah, I don't really have a lot of apps installed on the laptop I have now. I spend most of my time on the web
and Excel and Word. That's who this was designed for. So I just
have one device. I don't have to have a tablet and a laptop.
Yeah, exactly. It's more laptop than tablet. I mean, if you're getting a tablet because you want the portability, it's not that portable. It's thick. It's heavy. You know, a little Galaxy or a little Nexus 7 is 7-inch is a lot easier to carry around and put in your bag and have with you. The Surface RT is more laptop size and weight.
Okay.
It's a tough one. I'm not, you're going to have to go back to the store and spend some time with it. Do me a favor. Go into Office. Do some of the things you would do in Microsoft Office and make sure you're comfortable with that.
Got it.
That would be the
good suggestion.
That would be the one thing. Now, I think the Nexus 7 for a tablet is great, and that's the one I would look at because it's so inexpensive. It's an amazingly high-resolution screen. It's a pure Android experience, no Samsung stuff on top of it. I like it a lot, the Nexus 7. That would be the choice, a $229 Nexus 7, and then get a real laptop. To me, that's what I do. I'd be happy.
Do you find that you're happy with the smaller size as opposed to like a 10-inch tablet?
I am.
I am. But that's another one you got to get, you know, it's very personal.
Right. I have all the sizes at home because my daughter's knobby is a 7.
Right. You can look at the different sizes. Are you reading books on it? Are you surfing the web? You're doing email?
Yeah. Email, surfing the web, a couple of apps.
Yeah. Boy, that's a tough one. You'd have to try it. I know people who love who will, you know, will not use anything less than a 10-inch. It's hard for me to say. I think if money were no object, then I would get a Nexus 7 and a real laptop.
Okay. Like an Ultrabook.
Yeah. And I think that gives you the power that you really want when you need it. Yeah. And for the rest of the time, you just carry around something small and light.
Yeah, I'd hate to kind of give up my laptop and say, yeah, let's go with the Surface, and then 2 months from now come across some application, some program that I really, really want and have nothing to put it on.
Exactly. And think of the Surface really as a kind of mediocre laptop.
Mm. I have a netbook, so I have one of those.
Yeah, it's just like a netbook. It's the new netbook, frankly.
Yeah. I heard you complaining about them earlier.
Ah, they're junky. This isn't as junky. It's very well made. It's a nicely, but it's heavy and it's thick.
It is very heavy and thick. I noticed that when
it's not like a little light tablet. So I wouldn't get it as a tablet replacement. I'd get it as a midway between a tablet and a notebook. Get it. You know what? Look at that Nexus 7. It's beautiful. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, the big old jet airliners bringing Johnny Jet here. You know, a lot of people hate airports, but there's a place in the airport, Johnny, a place that's a magical place, a place of free food and booze, a place where you can relax and enjoy. The Wi-Fi is always hot and running, and people are nice and smiling. Sometimes they even have showers. It's called the big lounge, the first-class lounge.
Not just first-class. It could be just airline club lounge. The first-class lounge is usually a little bit better. That's usually the real good food.
I've never been in a first-class. I didn't even know there was a first-class lounge. I thought, I'm living large here in the business-class lounge.
A lot of the airlines, they have two lounges. They're inside of in the lounge. So let's say you go into the United Club and you're flying, you're flying business class international. You can get in with an international business class ticket on these airlines. But then if you're flying first class, a lot of the good ones have a separate lounge just for the first class passengers.
So Johnny Jet is going to tell us all. He's our travel expert, explains how to use technology to improve your traveling. And he's going to tell us how we, even the unwashed masses, can get into that. Did we lose you?
I turned off the video.
Oh, good. Okay.
Because it was starting to be.
Yeah. You sound great. So, how can we get into the lounge without being loungers?
All right. Well, there's a few ways. But first of all, while everyone's waiting, I think they should download an app called Lounge Buddy. It's brand new.
Lounge Buddy.
It's for the iPhone.
Fortunately,
it's not for the Windows phone, which I have. But I'm using my wife's right now, and I downloaded it. But it's in beta testing. And so you have – and actually, if you go to my website, in the chat room, I just sent the link. They gave me 500 coupon codes to give to your listeners.
Can we get a code by going to your website?
Yep. If you go to the website, go to johnnyjet.com and scroll down a little bit, and it'll say Travel App of the Week, Lounge Buddy.
I guess we should say what it does before we all rush to get it.
Yeah. So what it does, it's a really cool idea because it'll ask you a bunch of questions. It'll ask you where you're flying, first of all. What are your destinations? Which airport you're leaving to, where you're transferring, if you are, and where you're arriving. It'll also ask you what type of service you're in. Are you on a business class ticket, first class ticket, coach ticket? And then it'll ask you what kind of credit cards you have and also what elite status you hold.
Okay.
And that's
this
all
important
stuff.
This is worse than Facebook. It wants everything.
Well, this is important because, if you have an American Express Platinum card, you can get into Delta's and American Airlines and U.S. Airways lounges for free. So it's good for them to know that. You don't have to give them your code or card number.
Wait a minute. You're saying if I have any American Express card, I can get into those lounges?
No. Sorry. American Express Platinum card.
Ah. Yeah, you should because you pay a lot of money for a Platinum card.
It's $450 a year.
Yeah,
but if you think about it, the Delta Sky Club is $450 a year. The American Admirals Club is $500 a year. And it also gets you a priority pass, which is normally $399 a year. So you get 650 other clubs as well.
So Jay, how do you get in this lounge normally? By having a business or class or better ticket? Is that usually how you get in? Or?
Yeah, so if you're international. If you're flying internationally, you usually need at least a business class or up.
And if you're flying domestic, you're out of luck?
You can, no, you're not out of luck because a lot of these clubs now will allow you to have a day pass. If you don't want to buy the membership, you can get a day pass, but the day pass is $50.
Somebody says this is airport apartheid.
It is, but I tell you, that's what keeps business travelers sane. Most road warriors, you know, either their businesses pay for the membership fee or they're smart and they have, you know, an American Express Platinum card or cards like that that will allow you to get in. So, but there's this app called Lounge Buddy. So you tell you where you're going and it will tell you, all the amenities, first of all, how strong the Wi-Fi is, which I love. If there's showers, if there's free booze.
This is kind of like the seat guru for lounges.
It is. It is kind of.
I love
it's
this.
A little more complicated, but.
So it's not available yet. It will be out on the iPhone, but you can get an early. You can get like a beta test of it now.
So why do people do that, by the way? I don't understand that whole.
Because they want to try it out on a small number of people first, or because they're hoping to get somebody to mention it on a radio show. One or the other on their website.
Well, I heard about it and I wrote about it. And the guy must have got a Google alert because within an hour, he emailed me and said, hey, I'd like to give 100 codes to your readers. And then I told him I'm going to be on Leo's show. I'd like to mention it. So then he gave me another 500.
So they're all gone by now.
Probably.
Go to johnnyjet.com. And there's a link on there. If you were lucky enough to get it in the chat room, I bet you the 500s are almost gone. But I just got one. So there's a few left.
I just think it's... You know, if you're traveling a lot, it's important to, you know, find your little safe haven because otherwise the airport will wear you down.
Your happy place.
It is your happy place. I mean, I travel so much and people who do travel a lot, you know, most of them are wise enough to, you know, get into these lounges. And it makes a big difference to have free Wi-Fi and, you know, just a little
place
of quiet where people, kids aren't crying and jumping all over you.
Yeah.
Like my nephews.
This is a good little article on johnnyjet.com. How to get in the airline club lounges without becoming a member. And get that that app while you can, while there's still available, the Lounge Buddy app. Can they get it from your website? How do they get it if they're not in the chat?
Just scroll down to johnnyjet.com. I'll tweet it out as well.
Okay. He's at JohnnyJet on Twitter. There's lots of good stuff on the website, though. You really do agree. Oh, there it is. I see. Travel app of the week. All right.
And by the way, speaking of credit cards, and all the bloggers this past month have been mentioning the SPG card because they're offering 30,000 bonus miles to sign up.
That's the Starwood Hotels,
Starwood Hotels card. And what they like about it is that it's a $65 annual fee. It's waived after the first year, and they do not get you – that does not get you into the lounges, though. If you're going to get into a lounge, you're going to have to pay for a card that usually has at least a $200 fee or higher.
It's all about the green.
And a Diners Club, by the way, has a great card for international lounges. They're not too good for domestic lounges.
All right.
So, but those are the good. Just to get into a lounge is great again.
Especially if you get in for free, that's really great.
And you can sometimes sweet talk your way. By the way,
no.
So
really?
Yeah, of course. So one way to do it is if you can ask the gate agent if you know the flight's full and they need volunteers. Which they'll love you for that, and you'll love it because you can usually get a $400 voucher, but you can also negotiate, say, hey, can you get me into the lounge while I'm sitting here waiting for the next flight?
You can travel like Edward Snowden, live in the transit lounge.
Yeah.
No, he wasn't.
Is that where he was living?
Well, transit, they call it, I don't think it was the first class or the business lounge. It was the transit lounge. I don't think it's as comfortable.
And then the other big news, by the way, this week.
Yes.
It was the only big news. Or Travelocity and Expedia are now joining forces.
Really?
So they're Travelocity is basically thrown in the towel and said, and Expedia is now going to be their back engine, which is really surprising. I was shocked when I learned this. It was just a couple days ago. And so it's almost like a merger without them really officially merging.
Right. Were you a fan of one or the other? Was one better than the other?
Expedia was always better, but Travelocity did have a really good package deals tool. I mean, Expedia has it as well, but sometimes those package deals were different. At least they were to me.
It's funny. So I've been using Expedia since Microsoft owned them, and I used Expedia for years. So,
but now there's really only going to be two big players because Priceline bought Kayak.
Oh wow!
And travel, and now Expedia with Travelocity. So now it's those two big players.
Pretty soon there'll be one airline and one website, and we can all just go home.
We don't want that because then the prices are going to
sky high. Johnny Jett, you go to johnnyjett.com and read his stuff. It's really useful, wonderful things. Get the app, too. It's his app of the week, and you can follow him on Twitter, at Johnny Jett. Johnny, we'll talk again next week.
Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, Johnny. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. More calls right after this. Yeah, iPhone only. iPhone only. Did you tell Natalie to stop watching Netflix?
She did.
That's
she said she heard me say that the connection's not good, and
tell
she
you
realized
about a brand new
feature. She realized it right away, and she turned it off. But I think it was a little late.
Yeah, you know what? Turning off the picture really helped, and it is a radio show, so that's fine.
But I have a question for you. If I have a minute,
you have as long as you want.
So this week on my Facebook, I got a couple of messages saying that, you know, there's someone using my pictures pretending they're me.
What?
And I know this happens all the time.
Where?
On Facebook. I got a private message from a person saying, go to this person's website or Facebook page. And all of a sudden, this guy named Richard Berryman, and it had all my pictures, my profile picture. And he said, and this woman sent me an email saying, my wife is now getting a divorce because she thought she was talking to the person in this picture and she was falling in love with him. Which is, you know, it's
what?
A compliment. It's heartbreaking that someone's getting divorced. And then I got another message a month ago with the same, basically the same thing, but from a different name. And someone sent them $1,000 because if, you know, they saw all my pictures, they're pretending to be me.
Terrible, terrible.
And they said they're in Malaysia, they're stuck.
Terrible. Oh, that's the worst. You make sure your Yahoo, are you using Yahoo Mail?
I do have Yahoo Mail, but I don't use it.
Yeah, go check. Your Yahoo Mail's been compromised.
No, no, no. They're just taking my pictures because my
This is a well-known Yahoo Mail scam. Is they use your email address and they send emails out. I've had this happen to me, saying I'm stuck. Somebody stole my wallet.
Yeah. That's a totally different thing. This is just a Facebook thing where they're using my photos that they've just taken off my page, which is open to the public.
Right.
And they created another
every
page.
Time that happens, you have to immediately send a note to Facebook. They have a page.
But how do I know that? It doesn't say my name. They're using someone else's name. They're using fake names saying, hey, I'm Richard Berry.
Well, you just tell them. And
with their software, they should be able to – their facial recognition. Every time I go to Facebook, they say, do you want to tag this person? They
know
who it is.
You'd think.
Why can't they alert us?
You'd think.
So anyway, I'm sure it's happened to you many times.
No, it hasn't. Don't encourage it.
Believe me, I'm not.
You know, if you saw my Facebook picture, you'd say, no, it would never work. You're a good-looking guy. Me, they see my Facebook picture, they want me to send them money. They go, you're not getting any money out of us. I'm sorry, that's terrible.
I just don't know how to stop it. Because you can't, because the pictures are out there.
Well, and you're no public, idea. And you don't want to be private. I mean, you could stop it by being private, but that wouldn't help. Because you want to be public. You're using it to promote.
Plus, they're already out there.
So every time you find out about it, you just email Facebook. It's all you can do.
But is there a way to Google someone's image?
Yes.
And then...
Yes. Take your image and drag it to Google image to a Google search, image search, and then it will search for... your image. So Google image search is actually very cool that way. You can just drag an image over to it. Here, I'll show you. If you have an image, let me get an image here, and it will find similar images. So yeah, that's one. That's actually a really good idea. Hey, Natalie.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm well, thanks.
Thank you for letting us use your house. I'm sorry
of
you
course.
Can't watch Netflix.
Mi casa es su casa. I see. Yeah.
Busted. Let me just show you if I can find a picture here. I will do
so this. By the way, I was sitting next to a Turkish guy on the plane today. And I know you're going to Turkey, aren't you?
Yes.
So, you know, we're talking about the safety, and he said, you know what, just stay away from, you know, go to the touristy spots, but do not go to any, like, the locals' hangouts.
Good to know. I'll stay with the touristy spots.
Obviously, you never go where the crowds are if there's, like, a big,
right,
you know, riot or whatever.
So here's an image. I'm dragging it to the search.
Your video is off.
Oh, well, never mind then. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888. Ask Leo. We're going back to the phones. Talk to you, the people. Riley, New York. Leo Laporte here. What can I do for you? Hi, Riley. Did I push the right button? Did I say the right name? I did. Riley, New York. Are you there? How about Jane in San Diego? Hi, Jane. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Oh, hi, Leo. How are you doing?
I'm great, Jane. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Leo, first I have to say that I'm the least technical computer person absolutely that you'll ever come in contact with.
Okay, I'm prepared now.
I do have a young girl who comes over who occasionally, you know, I have a laptop. I have a MacBook, which is 3 years plus a couple months old. It has Snow Leopard on it, and my problem has always been that when I get a, I've had a lot of health issues, and when I get a CD from a doctor who tells me that this plays in any computer, I didn't even know how to put in the slot, but somebody helped me. And it's never been able to play. Been able to play any of the CDs that I get from doctors, and this is with the help of somebody else who knows a little bit more than me. Do you have any thought of what I can say when a doctor gives me a CD to ask them ahead of time or to tell them what they need to do to get CDs so that Apple computers with a MacBook of a Snow Leopard can use?
Well, a couple of possibilities. First question is, are you sure it's a CD, not a DVD that you're supposed
Yes, totally. It went in, and in fact, I'm out of the three-year help thing. You know, I hate to say that because I was ill.
No, but I'm here for you. That's fine. Right.
Oh, I
so let me ask you a few questions so I can clarify this. Even if it's a DVD, it'll go into the slot. The question is it a DVD or is it – so these are MRIs, they're images on there?
The first batch way back 3 years ago, that's what they were. Now
they were your pictures.
It's an informational thing, and I'll tell you what it said on the thing when I put it in. It said to open F as in Frank, S as in Sam, P as in Paul, O, S as in Sam, X, you need to install Rosetta. That's what it said.
Oh, lordy, lordy.
I know. And then
lordy, lordy. So it is designed to work on a Mac, but it has a very old program on it.
And
you don't want to install Rosetta. Rosetta was the program Apple used to ship with OS X. They stopped, thank goodness. Used to ship with OS X that would let you run really old Macintosh software. You could put it on there. You can download and install it, and it would run, but
would it leave me open to other things? Because
no,
I definitely don't want to.
No, they probably. So what they did as a convenience, and you really should tell the doctor, can you update your software?
Because Update the software.
This is 10 years old. But what they did is they put a program that's probably proprietary. Probably they own it. That will read those files. You might be able to open those files with something else. So examine the disk and see what it looks like. Are they .pdf? Are they .doc? What kind of files? You might even click some of the data files because it may be that the doctor, as a convenience, put a program on there that could read the files, a very, very old program. But you don't need it nowadays. You could just open them with something else.
Could I ask you, though, is there a key that I could say? Because I think what happens is they have some kind of programmer who does all their CDs for this big university, because this is, I think, where I had the trouble 3 years ago.
Yeah, just tell them, hey, dude.
What can I say?
Welcome to the 21st century. Could you please put something on there that works with modern Macs?
With modern Macs.
Yeah, they have something on there that only works with antiquated Macs.
I see.
Now, they probably also have a Windows program on there that will work fine, and that's why they don't get a lot of complaints.
Exactly. Right. And then they don't have people like me who want to watch the stupid thing, probably. But
no, you should want to watch it. Why is he giving you a CD if you wouldn't want to watch it?
Well, then when I asked them to send me something else, they said, well, we just do this as a courtesy, blah, 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 blah.
You don't really need it. You don't really want to know.
Yeah, and yeah. It wasted a whole – I actually did get a Apple person who felt sorry for me because I'm not going to pay $20.
No. You could – here's what you could do. You could download a copy of Rosetta and install it.
He did say, though, I'll have to say this. The guy that I got who was upper steps – I don't know how I even got him because they never let me get to anybody. And he was actually on my computer from Apple, though, you know, and the whole bit. And then he started reading things, and it said something about that it really doesn't work well with Rosetta.
It doesn't. It's because the software that they're shipping for you was not designed for Intel. It was designed for the old PowerPC processor, which Apple stopped shipping like 10 years ago. So they've never updated that, okay? But the Rosetta program will run it not well. You may not need the Rosetta program. What you need to figure out is what if you can see the files on that CD, other files besides that program. Mm-hmm. And if you can, then you may be able to open them with other programs. So the girl might be able to do that for you if she examines the CD.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes on Macintoshes, the default is to turn off file extensions so you can't see what kind of files there are. So here's what I would suggest. You know, you're going to have that FCSPOX program. But right click on some of the other, is there a folder with data or something? Browse around through the directories on the disk. And if it's just, they may just be JPEGs or PDFs that you could just open. You don't need this special program for.
And with somebody who, you know, she's much better than me, but she's not, you know, a computer.
No, she's not smart enough to have done what I suggest doing, but you can do it.
Oh, so just, DeLeo.
No, you can. No, I believe in you. Jane, don't say that. You can do it. I know you can. So here's the deal. When you put that disc in, there's a little icon pops up on your desktop, right?
I guess. You know what? I got so bummed out when she left.
You gave up before you even tried, Jane. You're a smart person.
On other things, I have been in the past.
You are. Just don't give up yet. That's all. And tell your doctor that, by the way, bloodletting is no longer considered de rigueur. He probably shouldn't worry about humors. And if he's feeling your skull to see what the bumps are, you tell him, go to a better doctor. This guy's living in the Middle Ages.
Well, this is great to know. But the main thing I should say to them, when they give me a CD, does it run on Intel? Would that be?
Intel Max.
Intel Max, you're saying? M-A-X?
No, Macintoshes.
Mac, right.
Intel-based M-A-C. Macintoshes, yeah.
Right, okay.
They are giving you a disk with a program on it that hasn't run on Macs in years.
And you know what I'm thinking? If I'm trying to get information, this must be old, old information.
No. They have a little tool that makes this CD, and it puts all this stuff on there. The truth is you probably don't need that program to look at the data.
Okay. And if I say that to one of the girls who comes over.
Yeah, say, can we just say, hey, let's just browse through the CD and see if there's anything I can look at. I bet you there is.
All right. Okay. Well, I basically wanted to know, though, just for the future, when I go to a doctor's office, what I can tell them, because they know nothing. They know less than I know. Well, that's impossible on computers.
So you have a legal right to your patient records, to all of this data in a form that you can read. So if you really want to get mean about it, you could say, I demand that you give me this stuff in a way that I can read it.
Okay. That sounds good. That sounds really good.
This is the least, you know, the least you can ask.
Because I run into it every single time. Yeah. I mean,
I bet there's a way if you open that disk and you root around in the little folders on the disk, just like your hard drive, but it's the disk, and root around in the folders that there somewhere is something you can look at.
Although I have to tell you, I did have that guy who was up the line in Apple, and he couldn't do it. And we were
you can browse around in it. What it is, that program that they want you to open that you can't open without Rosetta, it's just a little slideshow program.
Uh-huh.
It just takes the data and does a little presentation for you. I bet you. You could do it right now. Just don't tell anybody you're doing it. You can't ruin the CD. You can't damage it in any way. It's permanent. Just open it and look. See, the first time you open it, it'll say, please do. It'll tell you the same thing. Cancel out of that. Browse around in there like it's a hard drive and look for you know, look for files you can open, like JPEGs, PDFs, docs. There'll be stuff in there.
Well, I thank you so much. But I, as I said, the main thing I wanted to know, too, was just when I go to them and they start giving me a CD, if I say to them, does it work on Intel Mac?
Yes.
And if they don't know.
They won't know. They're going to say, in fact, they'll lie. They'll say, yeah,
exactly.
Probably.
Yeah,
it does.
And
yeah, it
who,
does.
Who
say,
who
no, it doesn't. It requires a PowerPC Mac. Nobody's made those in years.
Who had a whole school system, you know, medical system?
Is this UCSD?
UCSD that keeps giving me these things.
Okay, UCSD, they're listening on KOGO on KOGO. UCSD, update your GD software, will you? This is ridiculous.
You.
Your poor patients can't even see their documents. Get a clue. Leo Lapointe, the tech guy. Well, we called out UCSD. Get with the times, UCSD. I'm going to send him a bill. I didn't get the ad, but I'll get it next break. I think it's probably not unusual. They bought a package with the MRI scanner. They're not going to buy a new MRI every 5 years. So they bought a package. It came with it. There's MRI. You put a blank disk in. It goes, burns a disk, and you pop it in. If you ran it on Windows, it'll run just fine. But it doesn't. Nobody uses Macs, and so it's an old machine, and they haven't updated it. Osirix. Well, let's put that in the show notes, and I'll mention it. I saw this before, but I wasn't going to tell her. Okay, go download this program and install this program and then run, because it's not going to happen. Are these do they do this in an unusual format, these MRIs? This is the. Well, but this isn't even for a Mac. Oh, yeah, it is. It's Mountain Lion. Le meilleur de parler Cerix dans une station diagnostique Mac. So you have to go to France to get it. Yeah. So if she downloads this, and then she could open, could she open, this is free? And then she could see all the stuff. All right. Uncle Big says she's just lucky they didn't give her a bunch of punch cards. Here's your data, lady. Enjoy. So they don't use a proprietary form. All right. Well, I'll mention this. This is good. Thank you. They're encrypted is why. It's .dcm files. So really what they should be doing is replacing that old program on there with a new one. Oh, will it not work on Snow Leopard? Oh, yay, yay. Ay, yay, 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 yay. So which one do you like?
You know, I like the feel of this one in my
hand.
The little one. But I'm afraid the texting would be harder.
Get the big one. I don't think you can even get the little one yet on Verizon. But they just announced that one on Verizon. I think it came out today or tomorrow.
But they're very nice.
You want to try the big one? Want to try that one?
Oh, no.
That's too big.
That's way too big. But I like the thinness of these because they won't create an obnoxious bulge in my pocket if I just want to slip it in the
You're going to love that phone. The HTC One is a great phone. I think you're going to really like it. The camera is excellent.
How's the battery life, though?
I had to tweak it a lot to get decent battery life. Now I get great battery life.
And this is the kind that you can't get extras for, right?
Right.
See, I carry around four batteries.
See, I do too. Okay, so you're that kind of person.
I'm that kind of person.
Then you should probably look at a Galaxy S4 instead, because that you can get batteries for.
Yeah.
Careful, by the way, I'm bonking that table the way we've set up that microphone. It's microphoning. I don't know. Is the microphone a separate stand?
It is on the it's on the table.
It's on the table, yeah. So when you hit the table, it goes boom, boom.
Don't want to do that.
Battery. You know, the Moto X has good battery life.
Does it?
Yeah. You might really love the Moto X, but right now it's not a Verizon yet.
Are they going to do that OK Google Now thing? Is that just going to be an app or program soon?
No, it has to be in the hardware because otherwise it'll kill the battery.
So it won't be on this Moto X only.
No.
Oh.
So if you like that.
But how did that work for you pretty well?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It also knows when you're in the car, so it unlocks itself in the car. It has a special feature that if somebody calls you in the car, you can have it send them a text message saying, I'm driving right now, but I'll call you back.
Driving right now, leave me alone.
Leave me alone. I think the Moto X's are great.
Hmm.
Verizon has the Droid Ultra, which is also has that always-on feature. It's similar. I think it's a little uglier and clunkier. But you could always look at the Droids, the new Droids, the Droid Ultra.
Aesthetically, this is the most pleasing in my mind.
I agree. Most people agree that's the nicest phone, Android phone out there.
Yeah, before it even came out, I was like, that's the phone I want.
And the front speakers are really good and loud, and they sound great. The camera is excellent. Moto X camera is not excellent. It's better than yours. It's better than the Thunderbolt, but not great. That's a great camera.
Okay.
I'll show you some of the things the camera can do, too. It can do slow motion movies. Nice. In fact, I have a slow... Let me see if I can find it. Look at my Google Plus. I took some slow motion movies of Michael, Lisa's son, on the Bouncy Bounce. Let's see. It should have uploaded. You know, the nice thing about Google now is all the pictures are automatically uploaded. Wait a minute. Where are they? Huh. They didn't upload yet. I must have it turned off. It has a nice feature, too, called a Zoe feature. So what happens is it takes a three-second movie when you take a picture, and you can get a bunch of stills out of it, too, which is nice. This is a nice camera. I really like this camera. The low light's excellent.
I might just have to suck it up and constantly have the thing on the charger like I currently do.
Well... I can help you get the most out of it. There's this program called from Qualcomm called Snapdragon Battery Monitor or something like that that will help.
Okay.
It's really the things that kill battery life on Android are just things waking up the screen, and you can fix that.
Well, I'm a bit addicted to.
You like that battery life, and you're always typing.
I'm always. I saw you doing that. Facebook and everything. Yeah.
I think you might want to look at the Droid. Go over to the Verizon store. Look at the Droid Ultra.
Okay.
Droid Max has really good battery life, but the Droid Ultra is very similar to the Moto X. It has the same chip, it has the same wake up thing.
Okay.
And much better battery life. But it's kinda ugly.
Yeah.
I like the Moto X. We're sending it back, but I should get it for you and show you because it's in its box, but I can get it out. You can play with that. I know, it's hard now. There's too many choices.
Well, I want to be like you and have one of everything.
That's what I do. That's what I do.
It would make life a lot easier.
Uh-huh. The Droid Max is the biggest battery of them all. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Time to talk about computers and the internet, cell phones and camcorders, MP3 players, home theater, GPS, grand pianos, vacuum cleaners and microwave ovens, anything with a chip in it. Actually, all of those things can come with a chip in them. 888-ASK-LEO. That's the phone number. 888-827-5536. We were talking before the break to Jane, who had a disc provided to her by her doctor of medical imagery that she just couldn't open in a Mac because it had, you know, it was set up to auto launch a program to display the imagery. But the problem is the disc, the program on the disc was really, really old. Not the disc itself. They made a brand new one. But you know what? I mean, come on. How often does a hospital buy a new CAT scan or MRI machine? They're expensive. Probably when they bought that MRI machine, you know, they were still making a PowerPC Max. So I bet you anything. I mean, I don't know. I bet you anything. The MRI machine has a little disc burner in it. They put a blank disc in there. It goes, and it puts some stuff on there that they can read, or the CAT scan or whatever. And back when it came out, they put an old Mac program on there. She's befuddled by the fact that that's the program that launches when she puts the disc in. It auto-launches, you know. And it says, you can't play this on an Intel Mac. You need Rosetta, which Apple doesn't support anymore. Well, all you really need is a way to look at those files. And the chat room's really, I think, done a great job. They found a program that is free for Macintoshes that is designed for doing exactly this. In fact, the next generation, when the hospital gets a new CAT scan, this is the software that'll come on the disc. So this is called Osirix, OSIRIX-viewer.com. And it's a Mac program designed to view on Macintosh, or I see they have an iOS version as well, to view these proprietary images that are spit out by the imaging machine. Now, it may or may not work on your computer, Jane, because it does require, looks like a fairly modern Mac, and you have an older, you don't have Mountain Lion, but I bet it'll work. So try it. The good news is it's free. Probably because they make all their money in the hardware. I don't know. But anyway, this program will take a look at these DICOM images. And I think this is what's happening, is that on that disk, if you browsed around, you'd find images with a .dcm extension. It's a proprietary encrypted format that that ultrasounds, MRI, CAT scans, PET scans all put out. Bet you that disk is loaded with those images. If you opened downloaded and opened Osirix and then loaded the images from the CD, I bet you'd be able to see them all. So, and then tell UCSD, you know, if you just put Osirix on there, we'd all be happy. So it's free from osirix-viewer.com. But I'll tell you what, we'll put that in our show notes. TechGuyLabs.com. You know, this is a real problem in technology, which is it's evolving so much more quickly than anything else in life is, including our legal system, our legislatures, our Congress, our courts, and our medical imaging software and hardware. It's just boom, boom, boom. And so we get out of sync very easily. Enrique is in Huntington Beach. He's our next caller. Hi, Enrique. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hello, Leo.
Hello, Enrique. What can I do for you?
I have a question. I have two questions, but the first one is going to make you laugh hysterically, so that's a gift.
Oh, I love that. Thank you.
We have at the office, we have some Windows 98 legacy programs. I told you you'd laugh.
This is what I was just talking about, though. Those programs worked really great. They got somebody to write them. And there's not a huge demand for whatever it is they do, their line of business programs, so they never updated them.
Right, and one of them, well, they may have updated them, but
company didn't buy them.
Right, yeah. And one of them is, it will make you laugh as well, is the old academic tech that we use for some documents.
Wow.
So, anyway, we got two other Windows 98 machines ready to take over if the one we have in production fails. But I have been unable to find a way to do an image backup. You know, so
you remind me of my friend Steve Gibson, who has a refrigerator full, I think it's a freezer full of Palm Visors, because he liked these old Palm handhelds so much, he knew that they would eventually become obsolete. So he bought like a dozen of them, and to keep them the batteries working, he's got them frozen in cold storage so that when one dies, he could just pull another one out. By the time that, you know, and of course he's not using them anymore, but he liked them when they came out. So you have backup, and you have backup sealed.
And it just doesn't make sense for the low use to actually go and try to find replacements and all that.
Just tell me one thing, Enrique. You don't work at a nuclear power plant, do you?
No. Okay. No nuclear power.
I'm joking, but frankly, I think it's the case that many nuclear power plants are running on Windows 98. So,
yeah, I just read in the Wall Street Journal that the funeral homes use typewriters because of ordinances. So,
yeah, well, and there's no viruses on typewriters yet.
Right.
So
anyway,
yes.
I looked online, and it seems to be that the latest Norton Ghost. First, the one, your favorite, which works very well with XP and Windows 7 and 8, is East US for image. But they don't offer anything going back to Windows 98. So I went to Norton Ghost, and according to their own documents, the last Norton Ghost that works with Windows 98 is Norton 2003, which you can still get on eBay for about $30 to $50.
Yeah, I mean, imaging a Windows 98 machine is very different because it's using a FAT instead of NTFS, and you know, it really. I'm looking at my at other older programs, and nobody supports Windows 98 anymore. Norton Ghost is from that era,
right? So my question is there anything better that I can do to get a backup image that I can easily clone the next Windows?
Because you have to keep this working forever. Here's my suggestion: that you give up on Windows 98 and you start running it in a virtual machine on a modern computer.
The tech programs we have and a couple of other programs, I don't know that.
No, they will, because what you'll be doing is you'll be running Windows 7 or even Windows 8. Running a virtual machine like VMware or some virtual machine program that then will boot up Windows 98. Those old programs will think they're running in a standard Windows box, the Windows 98 box.
They actually support Windows 98?
Sure, of course. That's exactly why. They support all versions of Windows. So you install. Now, you'll need a Windows 98 install disk. You probably have one lying around.
Yeah, probably.
So you can even use OneBox, which is free from Oracle. Install OneBox, start it up. It'll say, what version of Windows? You say Windows 98. After it's done laughing, it'll say, give me the Windows 98 disk. It installs that. And then you're running Windows 98 inside of Windows 7 or 8. And you can install those engineering programs. They're running in Windows 98. And here's the beauty of it. You can make an image of that Windows 98 virtual machine just by copying the file, so you have as many as you need.
So when
so if it goes down or the machine dies, you need to move it to a new machine. You just move that. You already have an image. The disk image that you're running Windows 98 in is an image. So VirtualBox, not OneBox, VirtualBox from Oracle. That'd be a good solution. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. This portion of the Tech Guy Show brought to you by GoToAssist from Citrix. If you're in IT or IT support, you got to know about GoToAssist. It allows you, of course, as you know, I'm sure, because it is the number one remote access solution out there to remotely fix computers, mobile as well as desktop, from any device, mobile as well as desktop. But you also, they've got the new ticketing software and the remote monitoring. I mean, it is great. If you're in IT software support, you got to find out about GoToAssist. Visit GoToAssist.com. Use my name, Leo, for a 30-day free trial of all three modules. So lovely. We were talking to Enrique about how do you run Windows 98. And he actually is maintaining old Windows 98 machines just to run this specialized line of business software that requires Windows 98. And I would absolutely see if you can run it in virtualization. Windows 8 has that built in. But you can also download, Microsoft offers Virtual PC for free. And I just checked VMware Player, which is also free from VMware, will run Windows 98. They'll run Windows 95, DOS 6, Windows 3.1. So if you had, say, a Windows 3.1 program, maybe Commander Keen and the Planet, what is it, Planet of Lost Airmen game, and you wanted to run that old Windows 3.1 game on your Windows 8 machine, you just run it in virtualization. And I think it's a safer way to run it, especially if you're going to put it online, because Windows 98 is not being patched. It's got lots of horrible bugs. Windows 8 Pro will support this for free as well. Duke Nukem, the original. 8888 Ask Leo from Covina, California. Andrew's next. Hi, Andrew.
Leo, how's it going?
It's going great. How are you?
Not too good. Having some problems with my external hard drive, Seagate 1 terabyte.
What's happening?
Clicking noise. I'm having clicking on the external hard drive.
Yeah, that's usually a sign of imminent failure. Is it operating slowly?
No, actually, what's going on is that I connected to my laptop. It makes the USB connection always on my Windows PC, but then it doesn't pick up the hard drive.
Yeah, because it's dead. That would explain the clicking noise.
Okay, so I went ahead and called Seagate. Obviously, I do have tons of
Seagate, fire. Really? Did they help you? Did anybody at Seagate answer the phone?
They helped me, but they're going to charge me an arm and a leg.
Yeah, just buy a new hard drive, dude. Is there something on that hard drive you need?
I have over hundreds and hundreds of music. I'm a DJ, that's why. So.
And you didn't back it up?
And I did not back it up.
Yeah, you're out of luck.
So what I was doing was I was Googling and I heard...
What did you hear? I'm sorry, I missed that.
Freezing your hard drive.
Yeah, maybe.
Freezing your hard drive for about 4 hours, putting it in a freezer bag.
You could try that.
Place it in the freezer.
Yeah.
Let it, once I'm ready, take it out, connect it,
yeah.
and immediately do a recovery.
Yeah. It might work. It actually is not as crazy as it sounds.
Okay. What would you recommend, leave it intact in the casing or remove it from the casing?
No, you leave it intact. And what you're most worried about is moisture.
Correct.
Not just while you're freezing it, but also when you take it out, the sudden condensation. Usually you do this as a last resort.
Okay.
And if it doesn't work, you're really out of luck. So this would cue the Carbonite ad right now. And the reason Seagate will charge a lot of money, there's other companies, Drive Savers will do this too. They can disassemble the drive. The clicking probably means a number of things. Bearings could be dying, the actuator, the reader, the head could be broken. There's all sorts of things. If it's something physically wrong, it's thousands of dollars to get your music back. If it's just software, it's maybe you can get it back without spending a lot of money. It's very tricky. Very tricky. And 4 hours isn't enough. I mean, if you're going to try this freezing thing, leave it for a day or two. Really make sure it's frozen solid. The reason it works, I don't know. It shrinks. It's not going to work. Occasionally it can work. If it works, it's going to work once and never again. So get that data fast. And this would be a good time to talk about backup. I get calls all the time like this. You know, this is not unusual. This guy's got thousands of dollars in stuff he cannot replace. He had one copy of it on a drive that died. Drives die. Computers fail. Fire, flood, tsunami, earthquake. Disasters happen. That's why you got to back up your data. Now, I know it's a pain. That's why I recommend and use Carbonite backup for a couple of reasons. It's automatic. I don't have to think about it. It's continuous, so when I add files, I put a new music cut on my hard drive, backs it up. And it's unlimited backup off-site. That's really important if you're really planning for the worst. If there is a fire, you don't want to have your backup sitting next to the computer. You could lose it all. So off-site. And there's some advantages to off-site. It means you can log on to any computer, get your stuff. You can email the files from your it's true cloud storage. Best of all, flat rate. Whether you're a business or an individual, one low yearly fee for all the data on those drives or on that network. It starts at $59.99 a year for everything on a single computer. Could have saved his buns for less than $5 a month. Try it free. Go to carbonite.com. Use my name, Leo. You'll get 2 weeks free No credit card needed. Just my name, Leo. If you decide to buy, you'll get 2 months with purchase. Small businesses too. Carbonite. You got to back it up to get it back. Do it right with Carbonite. I hate to sermonize. I hate to preach. But, you know, it's so expensive. What this guy's looking at is $3,000 or $4,000 to get his music back. Please do a backup. And do an off-site backup. Bob in Santa Barbara, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Bob.
Hey, Leo.
How are you? What can I do for you?
Well, I'm my wife's going to Italy, and I'm trying to figure out what to do with the phone thing. You know, I've been reading about, well, there's a couple of them, I think, cellular abroad and wireless.
Yeah, so I'll give you the whole rundown real quick.
It's confusing with the...
it's very confusing. So you can bring your cell phone with you. And call your wireless provider. You can get.
She has a Verizon wireless.
Okay.
iPhone.
Okay. Hold on. Just keep listening. So you can bring your cell phone with you. If they offer international data plans, you can buy it. Verizon, in this case, $25 for 100 megabytes. Not a lot of data. And then it'll be another $25 when you use another 100. AT&T is similar. If you do that, then you can watch carefully and don't exceed the amount you buy. You can use your smartphone judiciously. The advantage of that is if you're going for just a week or two, it's probably enough. You'll have your smartphone. Your phone number will work. You will be paying a lot for people calling you. So make sure if somebody calls you, you can say, I'm in Europe. Bye. You know, you don't spend a long time online because it's like a buck a minute or something. That's one way to do it. Go to the carrier and say, I want an international data plan. Another way to do it, if you don't want to spend any money, turn off data roaming. It's a setting right there in all the phones. Just turn it off. It won't use international data at all, which means you'll have phone calls, but you won't have any data unless you're at a Wi-Fi access point. And then at a hotel or in a cafe, use all you want. That's another way to go. I'll tell you the third when we come back. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. So we were talking about... And this is a call we get a lot, and I'm glad to talk about it. In fact, I'm going to be going out of the country next month, and I'll probably do a variety of these strategies. What do you do? I mean, the advantage of having a smartphone is, wonderful. You can, if you get lost in a metropolitan area, you just fire up your smartphone, your Google Maps, you say, help me. Here's the hotel. How do I get back? It'll give you walking, transit, and driving directions. It's awesome. There's translators on these phones. It just goes on and on. You can listen to music. You can listen to audiobooks. You can, Google has this great program called Field Trip that will tell you points of interest as you walk around. There's all sorts of reasons, but it uses international data. And unfortunately, the way it's structured with U.S. carriers is they pay through the nose. Therefore, you pay through the nose and a half for data internationally. Now, you absolutely, it's critical that you do not go overseas and without making some sort of arrangements for international data. Because if you just go ahead and go, you will come back to a very big bill, sometimes tens of thousands of dollars in data charges. Because all of these smartphones, they don't know. They keep getting the mail. They keep checking for texts. They get map updates. They download all sorts of stuff. They don't know you're overseas. They're getting all this stuff, and it's costing you big time. So it's very important that you plan ahead if you're going overseas. At the very least, turn off international data roaming. You just turn off data roaming. It's a setting on all phones, all smartphones. Then you won't use international data. You'll save yourself a lot of expense. But what if you want to take advantage of the fact that these are smartphones? What if you want data internationally? Well, then you have some different choices. You can certainly arrange with your carrier for international data. It won't be cheap, but it's a lot cheaper than if you didn't. For instance, I think it's 500 megabytes of data. I'm going for 3 weeks. I'll get 500 megabytes of data from AT&T. That'll be $250. It's expensive. But at least I'll be able to use it. I'll also have to be careful because it's easy to go through more than you buy and then the rates go up. So you have to watch it very carefully. And then we're not used to that. Boy, if you've had a smartphone for any length of time, you get used to just using data like crazy. So remember, Wi-Fi is your friend, and Wi-Fi is almost everywhere. It's in hotels. It's in coffee shops. If you turn off international data, you can still use Wi-Fi. And a lot of applications, Google Maps, for instance, will let you download those maps ahead of time on Wi-Fi. Then turn, you know, make sure you don't use international data. But as you're wandering around, the GPS still works, and you'll have the maps on the phone, and you'll be able to get directions. So Wi-Fi, you know, that's a great choice. It's ubiquitous almost everywhere you go. So certainly use that, even if you do something else, even if you pay for international data, use the Wi-Fi whenever you can. The third choice is more complicated. If you have an unlocked phone, you can put a international SIM card in some phones that will let you use data at a much lower rate, at the locals rate. But you'll have a new phone number. You'll have an international, you know, you have an Italian phone number, but you'll be paying Italian data rates. It's more complicated, though. You have to have an unlocked phone. Now, Enrique, or whoever our caller was, said, it wasn't Enrique, but our caller said that his wife had an iPhone. If it's an iPhone 5 from Verizon, good news. Verizon's iPhone 5 is an international phone. Not all Verizon or Sprint phones will even work outside the U.S., but that one will. And better yet, it has an unlocked SIM card. So you can get to Italy and put in an Italian data card. You'll get an Italian phone number, and you'll get Italian data rates. That is possible. So I'm going to point you to a website. We'll put this in our show notes at techguylabs.com called prepaidwithdata.wikia. It's a wiki.com, where they have all the different countries and information user-provided, so it's not guaranteed to be perfect. It's a wiki for the different choices in that country. So looking at Italy, for instance, they have a link to a website, but they also have different Italian characters like Team, Internet 40, Internet 100, H3G, Vodafone, and you'll see what the costs are and so forth. For instance, here's the Summer Smart 500 to be used during summer for 3 months. It's 7.5 euros for 3 months. That's a great deal. 500 minutes, 500 texts, a gigabyte of data. Good for 1 month. For 7.5 euros. That's a great price. So you find that airports often have vending machines where you can buy those SIM cards. Be prepared, though, before you go. Figure out what card you're looking for, what carrier you're looking for, how to do it with your phone, and so forth. It's a little more complicated if you're going to more than one country. It's easy if you're going to be in one country. You can just look at that country's entry. So this is a really useful site, prepaidwithdata.wikia.com. There are companies that sell phones just for use overseas. That's another choice. It's worth looking at. Unfortunately, I'm going to be in 6 countries next month, so I don't think there's any good single solution. All of this is going to change a little bit in the EU next year. New regulations apply that require roaming over the entire European Union. That'll make it a lot easier for tourists and for travelers. Becky says, in Italy, the TIM, T-I-M, or Team SIM, is a very good choice. So, you have an iPhone 5, you get to Italy, at the airport, you go to the vending machine, or you go to a tobacconist's, or a newsstand, or the post office, or various places, you can get these SIM cards. Get a TIM SIM card, flat rate, and you'll have data, European data. It's a little scary. It's Telecom Italia Mobile, the state phone company. It's a little scary because you kind of don't know what's going to happen until you get there. But that's part of the fun of travel. You don't know what's going to happen till you get there. Max, Los Angeles, you're next. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Max.
Hello, Leo. Before you go on your trip, I have a question for you. I hope you can help me.
Okay, well, I'm not leaving yet. No, I'm gone. I'm out of here. See ya. Okay. Oh, no. Okay, go ahead.
I have a 2009 iMac running Mountain Lion. Mm-hmm. And iMovies no longer allow me to import videos. And in addition, it is running very strange. It doesn't show all the video files, and it's running really slow.
That doesn't sound right. What version of OS 10 you said? Hello? Hello? Boom. Boom. I've never heard that sound before, but it's the sound of a caller disappearing. I guess he went to Europe. So iMovie comes with your Mac. But here's the good news. If you're running a late version of OS X, one with the App Store on it, You can uninstall iMovie, run the App Store, and it'll say, well, you should download iMovie. You own it, and you can get it again. I think you need to reinstall is what I'm saying. Something's wrong with iMovie. He said Mountain Lion, then you should be able to just to start over. Sometimes that happens. You know, computer, whoever said computers are reliable? Not me. Not me. Let's say hi to Arlene. Hi, Arlene in Temecula. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Yes, I have a problem with computers. I'm on dial-up, believe it or not. We have no cable service in this area.
How frustrating.
I know, and it's so slow. I'm on with AOL dial-up, and sometimes it takes 2 minutes just to open an email. I mean, literally two minutes.
You're living in the 90s. How exciting.
I know. So,
you've got mail.
Someone gave me an almost brand-new HP laptop, and then I also have an IBM ThinkPad with Wi-Fi on it. However, neither of them apparently have built-in dial-up.
No, you need a modem.
I know.
You remember modems?
You can buy, apparently, a 56K dial-up modem, but I'd like to get away from AOL.
Yeah, hold on a second. Let me see if I can help you. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Boom. I've never heard that sound in my life. I don't know what the hell that means.
But he's back.
It went boom. Do you know what happened? He just disappeared.
Well, he accidentally...
He hung up?
Hung up, yeah. He's called back, though.
Oh, okay, good. I'll get him back. Bong.
It was a cool sound.
Yeah. This phone makes much better sounds than the one at Sherman Oaks, the premier phone.
Oh, okay.
It used to, when you'd pick up, people would go, yours probably did. KGO's does that, too.
I actually get confused when I've called in before because I'm not used to what it's supposed to sound like. When
right.
It goes.
Yeah, this big loud sound. And people sometimes go, what the hell was that? Yeah. They come on and they go, what? Hello? Something weird happened. Something exploded. Yeah, but this one's very pleasant. This is the Telos VX. It's much more modern. When I pick them up, there's a nice pleasant tone. And obviously when they hang up, there's a nice pleasant tone.
Was Joe Talbot here hooking all
Yes, he was.
Up?
Yeah, you remember Joe?
I do.
You worked at KGO long ago. He hasn't been there in ages. Has he? When did he leave?
Yeah, he was there when I started.
Okay.
So,
what do you do now?
Everything.
Do you work at KGO?
Yeah, I work in the newsroom.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Are you a producer?
I'm a little bit of everything.
You do it all? Are you on air?
No.
They don't let you read the news, huh?
No, they don't let me read the news.
You know, anybody can read the news.
I don't know. I might mess things up.
No, you wouldn't. Come on. Come on.
We had some PSAs that some of the news anchors were having a hard time reading this week.
They were stumbling around, huh?
Well, it was because of somebody's name.
Yeah, somebody wrote, tongue twister or something.
No, it was a pianist.
Okay, right there you got a problem. Right there, you're starting with a problem. So, did you want to get into broadcasting? Was that your goal in life? Or
yeah, I decided
you stumbled into it.
Sixth grade.
Oh, how cute!
I want to be on a morning radio show.
Oh, and have you done that yet?
No, I've always been in the background.
Oh,
this is the most exposure I've ever had.
It's a horrible business, radio.
It is.
Time to get out of it. I know it's but you know, good. You're getting get some airtime here. You deserve it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know why I got into radio, and I regret it deeply and bitterly. But I have found a new life here in the Internet. Thank you, Internet. Over 1 million people now know about you, Kim, says James.
Now I'm nervous.
What's your last name? I should write it down. Unless you don't want me to say it out loud. Would you like to be anonymous? You don't want weird callers?
No, it's Schaffer, S-C-H-A-F-F-E-R.
And you don't pronounce that Schaefer, huh?
Nope.
Because there's no E. It's not spelled Schaefer, it's spelled Schaffer.
And Alex said it was because there's a C, and it's Schaefer if there's no C.
That's not true. I think it's S-C-H-A-E-F-F-E-R is Schaefer. A-E. Right? Isn't there a... No,
I don't know.
Why are you listening to Alex?
Because he's the one who let me in.
Oh, your name is Schaffer, not Schaefer. Well, a lot of people named Schaefer spell it S-C-H, so I don't know. Including The theologian Francis Auguste Schaeffer.
I don't correct people when they say Schaeffer. I don't care.
But I'm going to say it right.
But my...
Your dad would
apparently my
care.
Grandmother.
Yeah,
my,
she would care.
My dad's mom that I never met. She was not happy when people said Schaeffer.
I was mispronouncing Heather Haman as Heather Haman, and she finally corrected me. Yeah. Well, that's a good thing. So Debug One says you should call Armstrong and Getty. They need to replace Dominic.
That's a conservative talk show, isn't it?
Yeah. See, that's you're not going to make it in radio if you're a liberal. Forget it. Forget about it. Okay.
Live read for Carbonite.
Thank you, sir. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. We've been talking to Arlene. Crazy little thing called AOL dial-up. You know, one thing you could try, Arlene, you got a phone number, so how far away from town are you in Temecula?
Probably 10 miles.
Ah. See, there you go. That's why you don't have DSL either. So you got no cable. DSL really doesn't work well more than 2 miles from the central office. So if there's not a central office 2 miles away, you're kind of not going to...
You know, the problem is these properties are all like 100-acre avocado groves and stuff, and there's not enough people here to warrant any
exactly.
of the services.
Mm-hmm. That's the trade-off.
Right.
Internet or country living. It's hard to get both. And you hit the nail on the head. The population density is too low for anybody to wire it out there.
Right, right. So what am I going to do with my laptops then?
Well, the other option for you, there are some satellite choices. I would look at Wild Blue.
Wild
Blue. They have pretty good satellite connections.
Okay.
It's expensive because you have to buy more equipment than a modem.
Yeah, and I can't. I'm on Social Security.
Oh, that's
so
not
going to
work for you.
Yeah.
I think you're stuck with dial-up, I'm sorry to say. The other possible thing, does a cell phone, when you use your cell phone, can you get...
Work.
Doesn't work.
Mm-mm.
Well, you got nice avocados, and that's something to be said for that.
No, I breed Dobermans. I got nice Dobermans.
Nice Dobermans. Yeah, I think you're stuck with dial-up, I'm sorry. And yeah, you'll have to buy a modem.
Yeah.
Get a USB modem, or it won't work, because nobody has serial ports anymore, but they do have... USB modems and
USB modem. Okay.
Yeah. I'm afraid that's going to be your only option out there. Boy, and in fact, this is seen as an issue. You know, back in the Depression, it was a big issue about people not having electricity in rural areas. Same problem. No private industry is going to run telephone poles all the way out 50 miles for one person. There's just no money in it. So we had a rural electrification project. It was part of President Roosevelt's Depression-era, stimulus, and they wired everyone in the country. It was a huge effort and very expensive, but well worth it. And I do think our own FCC is aware of this. They have a national broadband plan. They realize that it may not be as vital as electricity, but it's getting to be close to it to have internet access. And it's not going to be private industry. It's just not economical. It's going to have to be government, I guess. Of course, government doesn't have any money anymore either. Hey, the Gizwiz is here, our gadget guru. We're going to talk to him in a little bit. Dick DiBartolo is here, Mad Magazine's maddest writer. And the Gizwiz, we call him that because he's a fanatic about gadgets and gadsmos.
Hello. Yeah.
Hello, Dickie D.
Well, I'm good. How are you?
I'm well. What have you brung us?
Next weekend, Labor Day, and then...
Wait a minute. Next weekend's Labor Day?
Yeah,
pal. How did that happen so fast?
Yeah, tell me about it.
It was just summer a minute ago.
I de-winterized my boat, I think, on a Thursday.
Well, I guess I got to trade in the white shoes. Oh, well.
Yeah. Well, you have another 8 days.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to wear white shoes for the next 8 days.
College kids are gone, but the little ones will be on their way back to school. So
yes.
I have a couple of little fun gadgets for...
You can bring R2-D2 to school with you now?
You can bring R2-D2 to school in the form of a little thermos lunchbox.
Oh, how cute.
Who is actually looks like R2-D2 and 100% PVC free foam insulation. And that little has lights on the top.
I love it that it sounds like Archie.
Oh, yeah, it's very clever. And then it plays for about 7 or 8 seconds, and then it automatically goes off.
I hope so, or the teacher's going to go off on you. Yes, yeah,
exactly. And then thermos is another thing that it's great for kids back to school, but actually anybody who carries lunch to work. It's their Vacuum King insulated food jar, so it holds 16 ounces and a big mouth for putting. They used to call you the big mouth.
Big mouth food jar. That's my name.
Yeah, exactly. That
was it. Don't give it up. Leah will eat it. Here goes big mouth food jar again.
But what's neat about this is it has an interlocking cap, and within that cap is a full size folding stainless steel soup spoon. No, it's great. So there's nothing worse than taking a hot meal, stew or something
to work
or to school and then go,
I don't have a spoon.
Oh, no one packed a spoon.
I don't have a spoon.
So the spoon is built right in. And so it's very clever. And that guy is stainless, so that's $27. And the R2-D2 lunch sack is $17. So not bad.
That's good.
So all your kids are gone, right? Your kids are back to school.
You know, when you're in college, you don't so much pack them a lunch so much anymore.
No, you pack them a suitcase of money.
Yes. How did you know? And yeah, that's not enough. I don't know.
The big suitcase, that's for tuition. And this little suitcase, that's all $100 bills. That's for incidentals.
I actually went to the dining hall where he's going to be eating. At the University of Colorado Boulder, it's like a food court. They have different stations for Italian, Chinese. I never ate so good in my life. This kid's going to gain 100 pounds.
Well, he could use it, right?
He's kind of skinny, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
No. We moved him in. Jennifer went out with him, moved him in on Thursday. Friday night, he was already at a party. So I think I think his education's going swimmingly.
He's studying catering, isn't he?
I think he's stuttering girls, but I'm not sure. I don't know. We'll wait until the report card comes out. And then
but I know, Henry, he'll be writing you pretty much daily.
Yeah. You know what? He literally told Jennifer, he said, okay, I'm now going to begin the rest of my life. It's over between us. See ya.
Nice. Oh, that's good. That's good. That's good.
Perfect. I said, don't worry. We'll hear from him as soon as he needs money. It's okay.
Yes, exactly. There's always that family link, isn't there?
Go to kizwiz.biz. That's Dick's site where you can. She texted me. She said, you won't believe what he told me. It's over between us. She said he didn't say it in a mean way, very matter of fact, but he was pretty clear. Today, I am a man. Gizwiz.biz, that's Dick's website. That's a place where you can go to win an autographed copy of Mad Magazine. All you have to do is play the What the Heck Is It game, a close-up picture of some gizmo or gadget. If you can identify it, you're in the running for 12 autographed Mads. If you can't, but you make up a good fake answer, you're in the running for 24 autographed Mad Magazines.
Perfect.
You bet off getting it wrong. And Dick, stick around. The Giz Fizz is coming up right after this show.
It will.
And Dick, of course, does a great little podcast called The Giz Whiz with me, oddly enough, every Tuesday on
Twit.tv. Are you that other person?
I'm the guy feeding you the straight lines. That's
me. Oh, okay. Good.
Thank you, Dickie D. Happy anniversary, by the way. Yesterday was your anniversary?
Anniversary 1 year. Thank you so much.
That's a nice thing. That's cute.
Thank you.
We do this show every weekend right here. I hope you'll stop by and get your questions answered at 8888 Ask Leah. I want to thank Kim Schaffer filling in for Heather Hammond today. Nice job, Kim.
Thank you.
We had great calls. Nathan Straighten at the controls and our musical director. We do have a website, techguylabs.com, where you'll find the annotated versions of my answers. all written down carefully for you by James DeRuvo and then written down again carefully for you by Josh Windisch. And one of the things Josh does, which is great, we have audio and video of every show going back 1,007 episodes. That's practically the stone. That's back Windows 1.0. They're all there. You can watch the audio, watch the video, listen to the audio, and go question by question. So if you've heard something or this is even better. If you heard something and you said, Leo, you're wrong. You don't have to yell at the radio anymore. You can go to the website, comment, add your 2 cents worth, and I appreciate that. Don't think I'll be mad. I'll be thrilled. I get corrected all the time, That's why we have kids, right? And I'm used to it now, and it doesn't hurt nearly as much as it used to. But we do appreciate it because that makes the website so much more valuable for people who want to find the answers. They can go there and search. And it's always free, always available. You know, no subscription necessary. TechGuyLabs.com. Hey, thank you for being here. We'll see you next time. Have a great Geek Week. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. Well, that's it for the Tech Guy show for today. I'm Leo Laporte. Thank you so much for joining us. Don't forget, the Tech Guy is just the tip of the iceberg. We do nearly 30 shows now on the Twit Netcast Network, and you'll find them all at twit.tv. We talk about Windows and Windows Weekly, Macintosh and MacBreak Weekly, iPad and iPad Today. You get your daily dose of tech news from Tech News Today and our weekly roundtable show, This Week in Tech. It's all at twit.tv. And I'll be back next time with another great Tech Guy podcast. Thanks for joining me. See you next time.